I'm
going to be on a delay because I'm home with a sick kid. I don't want you guys to have to listen to Nemo.
That's our hell. Come on now. That sounds way better than this.
We're here with the sick kid, too.
Yeah, ours is a little more honoring, though. Ours is a lot more honoring.
Lick his cup. Come on.
I'm going to lick your keys.
Go for it. So, long and short, we've been here. We're here to get that little. You say Tammy's a cute.
Do you recall the last meeting where you said, "I'm going to sit back here by you so you can get the sickness that my kids brought home"?
So now you got it. Toy Flay Tom came through.
Yeah.
Yes, at least you guys are
sharing.
There
will be payback, though.
Good luck. So let's get this thing rolling. Okay, so Tammy sent an email out. What we want to do is yes.
Dave, Will, can you introduce who's in the room, please?
No.
Top secret
you be here, then.
Information.
No, we can go around the room. So we have Dave Wills and Ben Houseman on the phone. Tom Lors, unfortunate chair of this meeting. I'm really getting tired of having these meetings.
Jeremy Condor.
Gary Fredericks.
Deb Bowes.
Sean Rearsich.
Tammy Mackey.
Rick Kruger.
Bob Ford, Portland District.
And Scott Pittman.
Okay, so Tammy sent an email out. We had this meeting, one, to give everyone a quick chance to get caught up on Trevor's model or questions thereof. After that, Gary and I thought if there was time, we'd try to maybe do some outline of some potential language that could go into the change form, see if there's something that the group is coalescing around. If not, we will have to do some divergence things and throw it at the policy food chain, because that's just the kind of people we are. Tammy then last week suggested that, I think you sent an email yesterday, that some people from ops had a question about this. So we thought we could take care of that first in the meeting, so that poor person, whoever that person was going to be, now we know who it is, wouldn't get stuck through this whole arduous meeting. So with that, are there any questions, addendums, additions to said agenda? I just gave it to you. That's what I was doing. Hearing none. Let's just go to operations. So you Tammy sent us an email. You had a question or comments?
I'm hearing that, you know, you made some modifications to gate wells on second powerhouse.
We're going to make.
Or no, you're planning on it?
We did for 4 years.
Oh.
$35 million, and we screwed up the gate well.
It was only 17. It's only 17. 17
million?
17 million.
That was 35. 17, okay.
And you screwed up the gate well.
What's regardless,
is it going in service?
I think you. We. No, I said, why are we doing this? Gary says, because it's going to be a big improvement, and darn it all.
So you made some modifications to the gate well. They didn't turn out as great as you thought they would be.
They did what they're supposed to. We got more flow up. We got more flow. See, the whole thing was, the thought was, we had low guidance in the bypass system. How can we improve guidance? Well, the thought was, we get more flow up the gate wells, that'll improve fish guidance. There we go. Went through, did that, a couple different, I think it was turning vanes, gap closure device, and some frosting plate changes, if my memory serves. It's been
like
a long time ago.
They are.
Wow, Tammy, that's a lot of cough drops.
Dietary supplement
so
drops.
We did all that, tested it. We did see a bump in guidance, which was nice to know we could actually do something successful. Unfortunately, all the extra flow caused more hydraulic turbulence in the gate well, and we started finding smaller fish, such as spring creek releases and other fishes, seemed to have higher levels of injury. After much hand-wringing and things like that, we started saying, okay, let's, I believe Lyle Gilbreth did some gate well testing and did correlate operating at the normal upper end of 1%.
There's a memo that I put together on the LRM webpage that explains just about everything I was talking about.
So, long and short was, we did seem to make things worse for certain species, specifically for some species. Other fish don't seem to be as affected, but there are definitely certain species, such as, I believe, sub-yearlings, spring chinook, and potentially sockeyes, show the biggest impact. So, for the past few years, we have been, during certain times of years when we see high descaling, or during certain releases from spring creek, or other area times when we have certain species running through, like sockeye, we've been at our best trying to run the turbines more towards the midpoint.
And that's in the mid spring?
Mid-spring to...
To late spring.
To late spring.
Mid-June.
Yeah, because sockeye come out later, so... So we've been trying to run powerhouse 2 to that operation as best we can. For the most part, during low flow conditions, it's not as big a problem. Where we run into problems became when we were at high flows. The question is, what did you do with the extra flow at that point? And there's differences among the region about how best to operate the project if you're operating powerhouse 2 at the midpoint, what you should do with the extra flow. So, instead of having SORs and constantly having debates on this.
Come on.
Hey, if you want, I can.
After 2 years of that.
After 2 years of that and
the third year we're trying to get.
We there. Thought maybe possibly we could come up with an operation that might be acceptable to all parties in the region that would get us through this until we came up with a proper fix for the gate wells.
For the gate wells, okay. That was my next question.
Yeah. There's a structure, that's what John Rarisich is. He's kind of the bio on that one. They're putting a TRDs, I won't give you the correct, turbine reduction devices into two of the gate wells this coming season. And depending on the outcome of that, that might give us a direction of which way to go for gate well improvements. So, until we get a fix, we're trying to come up with an operation that would save us this weekly hermassa going back and forth and trying to figure out how to operate turbines and keep sending differing teletypes to the operators.
Are you talking about all the turbines or just the ones closest to the fish well?
Powerhouse 2.
So yeah, all in Powerhouse 2. Yeah. So all 8 in Powerhouse 2.
Yeah. Well, there's only seven. Because Unit 11 doesn't exist.
Oh, that's right. Unit 11. I forgot about that lovely unit.
Some year might run.
So, yeah. Okay. Hopefully my kids are in college. And you remember my kids are in elementary.
So last year you did it manually. Yes. With just an op order to the...
Right. And so we picked up the first powerhouse with the corresponding same amount.
Okay. And so there was problems with that operationally?
No, it was fine.
Okay.
There's now a concern that we cannot run the first powerhouse as high because of line constraints. The world, somewhere in the world, they changed the rule that you can't have double circuits. And the way Bonneville runs out, same two lines in the same tower. And so by doing two of the lines running to Ross from the dam are on the same towers. And so because of that, the overload is the line that goes to Hood River.
Right.
And so they reduced it by season, depending on the temperature, X amount, up to 85 megawatts at times. And so because of that, we can't push all the flow from one powerhouse to the other.
Well, and that's from a BPA standpoint. There's other people in the region that might say running to generator limits of powerhouse 1 may not be the best long-term operation. So we asked HDR what they felt that the safer upper limits of powerhouse 1 were.
It's a best geometry.
Best geometry.
That's defined. It'll be a table
of fish paths. Plan defines what that is. Okay, I'm just having problems grasping. You know, we did this last year,
the
half a percent in the year before on the manual. Okay, and basically what you're requesting is a mode, automatic mode in GDAS to limit that 1%. Okay,
that's one of the interests is to keep it there. Because you don't want to stray too much. If you leave it on manual, it can move. And people aren't paying attention, it moves, and so can you do it automatically is the question that's been posed to you.
There's that. And another reason we're kind of looking at trying to get more uniform operations, that way we don't have to chase the problem. Like, wait, see, oh, there's a bunch of mortality. What should we do? Wring our hands. We sit in a meeting. We argue. And then we basically said, that's all. We're trying to make this process more streamlined and come up with an operation we think is best around for whatever time frame we think it needs to be done. Because as much as I like to go to TMT meetings, and as much as I like to chase problems, I, for once, would like to actually try to stop a fire from starting before I even put it out.
So some of the questions are, the reason we brought the first powerhouse is do you have to change the programming in the first powerhouse to allow it to have a setting there? Right now it stays within 1%. The new range is actually outside 1%, so does it need reprogramming, or how could we make it that the new range?
More streamlined.
Yep. Well, you know, and it sounds like the programming is not a big deal. Okay, it would just go in the next time they put a GDAX revision in, the GMT would put another mode in for your spring.
How many years out is that?
I don't think it'd be more than a year. It's whenever they do the revision, and they've been doing a revision about every 18 months. So. I'm just worried about the operational and the maintenance issue standpoints of that, because you've heard it all. Every time you make a change, the powerhouse guys are saying, "Well, shit, our governors are overworked and they're old and they can't move." Well, there's a valid concerns.
But aren't you getting digital governors pretty soon.
Well, yeah, that's a kind of a misnomer. We are getting digital front ends, okay? So it's just the controls. So the actual hydraulics, the blades, the turbines, all that's the same. And that stuff still drifts. Oh, the digital front end is going to, basically it's going to exacerbate the problem they had before, because you had old hydraulics and you had old controls. So everything drifted and it was just kind of all over the place. Well, now you have digital controls, which are going to want to be exact, okay? So now as it drifts out, it's going to pull it back. It's going to drift out. So there's going to be a lot of movement with the digital front end anyway. But, you know, I'm not going to make that decision. I want to talk to Dennis. There's two things going on with the projects too. You know, Dennis is saying, yeah, we want to do it. Okay, it's a good idea. Sounds like somebody's talked to the operators, and the operators are saying it worked just fine the last month. We didn't have a problem with it. I haven't talked to anybody at maintenance yet. Yep. So I'm just kind of gathering data. I went to Tammy and I talked about this a month or so ago. And I took it to the GDAX maintenance committee, which authorizes all the changes to GDAX, the GDAX program. And they asked me to just find out what's going on, talk to the projects, talk to you folks, get all the information, and go back and then... You know, that's really all I want to do is just find out what's up. I mean, if Schwartz says it's okay, you know, I'm inclined to say that's fine. There's some, you know,
power to Schwartz.
Power to the Schwartz. That's the Schwartz. You know, there's part of me, you know, the electrical engineer in me is saying, God, you know, now we're gonna have something that sets a precedent that says now we can run, but the new governors, we can run at 0.5%. Is the next FPOM gonna say, okay, let's run the region at 0.5% since we can do it above?
And that's another. There's another huge issue that's associated with that.
But
my agency.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to make sense of where this is all going. Then, so are you guys? You're with the project.
I'm with Portland District Operations.
Operations, okay. So at some point, are we going to get a memo just saying what can and can't be done in terms of the AGC control?
Right, and the ultimate decision, well, the ultimate decision, whether it goes, of course, is, you know, it's Chief Operations, whether it happens or not. But he's elected myself and another guy to sit on the GDAX committee and make those decisions, okay? So right now, in order to change the GDAX program to put this automatic mod in, then the GMC needs to say, okay, go ahead and do it. Okay, and they didn't know anything about it. It took everybody by surprise when I mentioned it. And so they asked me to, as a member of that, to go back. And we're going to meet, I think, next month. And probably have a decision then.
Okay, so, and did I hear you say that this wouldn't be automatic until for a year or
it would be,
before it could be programmed?
It would be programmed in on the next modification, next time they had a mod.
Which wouldn't be for this spring. So for this spring, we're stuck with a manual operation.
That's possible. I don't know. I have to talk to Showin and find out when the next time they're planning on putting a mod in.
They were going to do normal PMs last summer. Uh-huh. And she said the change for Powerhouse 2 could just be done at that time, whenever they do a regular PM.
Okay, for the spring. For this spring.
I'm not sure what her PM schedule is.
The project maintain these levels that we're talking about manually. Is this something that can be done? I mean, last year we did it a little short, you know, mm-hmm. week here, week there. We're talking about setting up something for the entire season, you know, for months, a couple months anyway.
I assume what
the project can do, or do you think
I think they can
do this?
I think they can. They did it last year. Basically, what they're doing is they're putting the units on a set point so it doesn't respond to the load changes. And so they're either putting it on a voltage or some kind of a set point and then watching it, and then as it drifts out, they're pumping it back. And it's
what I want to know is if they're going to get a response back from somebody in the core that says, we can't do this. You guys are wasting your time.
I mean, what would they prefer? A more kind of a constant operation, or just do these short bursts of whatever change needs to be made? What's going to be their preferred?
operation.
What?
Well, we do SOR.
Hey, please run. I don't want to chase the problem.
I'm the same way, but.
Well, I think what's going to happen if the GMC approves it, it'll be a mode in GDAX that the operators will just go to. It'll be just another routine.
This year? Not this year, though.
No, well, we'd have to get the schedule. What? We'll get the schedule to see when their normal PMs are and when their updates are.
I just want to know for this year first, so we can worry, you know, mm-hmm. get this done for the future. I understand that, but coming at us is April, very quick, and I want to make sure that what I don't want to hear in the next week or two is, well, you know, we can't do this. Mm-hmm. You guys can talk all you want, but the reality is we can't do it.
We physically have done it the last 2 years. We can continue doing it in that way. But the long-term fix is more having an automatic setting.
I understand that, Scott. I understand I'm just trying to get to any showstoppers here of our process. If there aren't any, then good. Let's go ahead. Let's get that
There aren't any physical ones at the project that are the equipment can't handle it, or we can't do it because of a transmission constraint.
Right.
Those don't exist. The other political realities do exist that would say no, but that's not a hardware
physical
thing.
I want to know if there's a physical reason why you can't do this, because, right. you know, we're going to destroy some equipment, or the operator's running from one end of this panel to the other, trying to keep this thing tweaked in. I don't want to see that either. So
the only thing I can think of is just wear and tear. Additional wear and tear, trying to keep it to the 0.5%, and that's going to be basically a project, you know, and that's going to be a Jerry decision, mm-hmm. you know. And in fact, I'm going to go see Jerry tomorrow, and this is one of the things I'm going to talk about and say, hey, this is what they want to do. We're going to put it on auto. You've been doing it the last 2 years with your operators, just running back and
forth.
So
we'll get some feedback.
But you want to have a more precise though, so right. you know, because you could be at 1% on one, say, oh, we got to bump it back, and then all of a sudden you see you've got damage.
What's the range? We're talking about precision as much as just narrowing the range down itself. I mean, I know there's still going to be slop around that.
Right. So what is that going to be? Mm-hmm. What's the acceptable band to stay in?
It's what it is. I mean, we're not going to say do a better job of maintaining those governors. I know that's going to be the mechanical linkages, hydraulics, all the stuff that's in there. It's going to be what it is.
But Gary, what he's concerned about is that it'll chase it too hard. If you make your range really narrow, it chase, right. chase, chase. If you have it that can kind of drift up and down, it doesn't make the changes nearly as much. And so the concern is it a 1K band, half K above, half K below? Well, how tight do you want this governor to keep working? Or do you want to let it, you know, play a little bit and then go back down?
What did you guys currently run the last time?
I mean, that's
15.
Do whatever.
We targeted 15, but again,
You know, I'd have to look and see
what.
You're
talking about firehouse two now, not firehouse.
Remember, you're talking on a load. You're talking about, you know, here's the nice humped load.
Right.
Hopefully, it's a little flat at the top. I don't know what they are in turbines. And so you're talking about, you know, 1% is whacking off the top of that, and so it would be, you know,
correct. And so this is we're trying to narrow what the band is, not make it just a single point, because governor went crazy chasing it.
A single point.
And so that's what we have to establish is what that is, so they can tell how much wear on your governor is, because the governor would like to just drift in between there, without a lot of guidance.
What's the drift of the governor?
I can't tell you that.
If you can find that out, that's what our.
Can I say it a different way?
Where do you go?
Yes, last year we targeted 15K through Powerhouse 2. Can you give an upper band and a lower band around 15K that you would want?
15K in the slot of the governor. Let's put it that way.
Well, how would you define slop? 1K on
your
side?
You guys define it for me.
Okay, so you'd say, and then whether or not that was a 0.5% or whatever.
We're going to try to keep it there as best we can.
Tight as possible within operational constraints.
Yeah, if it's going to go outside of that because of linkage slop and all that stuff, that's fine. That's fine. That's what it is.
Okay. But we're interested in having him look into what the kind of a safer band is. If there's a point where you get too tight, he's doing it too much, then you're going to wear it out. We don't want to be there.
I'm assuming you're talking about 15 meg, right?
15. KCFS.
You're talking flow. I'm talking megawatt. I'm electrical.
And,
so.
And, no, and I appreciate that, because that's the reality, though, too, that we struggle with in translation with the operation. A lot of the operators want to talk megawatts. We always want to talk flow. But the operation we did last year, we generally targeted 15 KCFS as the definition of the midpoint. Mm-hmm. And so I guess what we would ask of you is a clarification on, if we define that as the midpoint, what type of slop on the high side and low side would be?
Well, you have,
can we expect?
We have a table now. Well,
okay, there you go.
Did we get a table?
Not for Powerhouse 2 yet.
Okay, once we get that, that's what we're trying to shoot for per head.
You know, there's something just came to mind. You're talking about you know, you're talking about an exact amount of flow. You want 15K...
which is bad, though, I just have to say.
Of flow. Okay. So I'm wondering if it isn't as simple as just putting that on a base load, okay, as far as flow, because I know they can do that, okay? And then seeing how that regulates around that. Maybe 1% around that is okay, because remember, the 1% is used to figure the BPA load signal. Load signal comes in, and GDAX figures out the load for across the powerhouse, and it has this megawatt bandwidth that it can use. I guess my first question to Dennis is going to be, what if you just put it on a set point, you take it off of the automatic load spreading, okay, and just base load it at 15K and see how it holds.
And let it go.
And just let the governor hold it at 1% at 15K. Don't let it move around when it gets a load signal.
You're talking about like 1% either side.
Yeah, they take that load, they take the load figure and then whack off the top.
Oh, you're talking top about 1%
is, band. Yeah, 1% band, and then you get a megawatt right. Across that. So
they're asked to make it to half.
Well, yeah.
And so that's where the interest is how do you narrow the band to get closer to the center?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the best way to do it without screwing the machine out?
Yeah, because it shouldn't wander from 15 or whatever the center is, all the way to the upper end of 1% all the way to the lower end.
That's exactly what we're trying to avoid.
Yeah, and the operators, I should be able to ask those operators, and they should know how far it's going to drift from a set point.
That's what we need to know. If the natural wandering of that of those units is within X percent, or X amount of flow, it's a flow issue.
It's not going to be 12 megawatts each way. I mean,
No, there's no way. The issue is different. Because it's flow in the gate well that's killing fish. And so that's just a function of unit flow. So what we're trying to get at is a medium operation and this some slot.
And, you know, I'm also going to ask the question of the designers if they have a set point that's related to flow rather than megawatt. Because flow is going to be created, you know, if you have a megawatt set point, if your voltage goes up and down, that's going to affect what flow. You could have the same set point and still raise a lower flow.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, head will change.
Yep.
So, long and short of this, we will get a report back on roughly what we think the mechanical, not the digital governor, mechanical governor, what kind of slot we have back. And then we'll also talk about doing the idea of 15K with whatever the operators think they can run around that.
The table will define the midpoint. That's our operation, plus or minus the natural slot.
Yeah.
And if that's as wide as the 1% band, we have a problem. If it's really narrow, we don't have a problem.
No.
The only thing I'm worried about is if you get too narrow, the digital governors are chasing really hard, and the hydraulics don't like to do that.
They're chasing whether they're set at 15 or if they're set with 1%.
If you delay a little bit, you're not saying change.
They're saying crap in the gauge.
Let's see what the band is.
Geez, didn't I just say that? Yeah. Love of God, I'm glad we could circle back.
Boom!
We're there.
I think that's what I
said.
I know. Yeah. I was trying to summarize, as you may have
Thank
noticed.
You.
That was a summary. And then once we have that, we'll try to get a table on Powerhouse 2, and boom!
And we're going to chase down the schedule for the GDAX change. And we need to know that pretty soon, because if it's soon, we need to be sure we're catching up to it in time.
I had a feeling we either missed it or it's not for a while.
I agree, but I'm just saying we need to find out.
I see what it sounds like is we're a manual operation for this year, planning for automatic control down the road.
But then by that time, we'll have the problem fixed.
So
how much fuel effort do you want to put into that?
That's right.
He's going to be fixed already.
Unless you've got alternatives that are going to be so magical, because I think the current TRDs are not.
Turds will get flushed.
The TRD is going to give us the information that we need
to move forward with the next step, which is still an alternative, which will still go to a DDR, ADR, DDR, and then
PDR,
PDID.
The TRD, they can engineer that and come up with a creative way to
install
not make it too O&M intensive.
Yeah, because right now it only took you 2 days to put in 2 gatewell slots.
I think the project is an EDR, DDR, and a plans and specs phase, and that's about 3 years. unless you really accelerate it.
Unless you go temporary, like with Dell's Pit, and then it gets done right away.
Yeah, that's separate route.
That's a sniper route.
Core?
Yeah.
Huh?
But yeah, realistically, you know, we're looking at years, and yeah. And the information we gather from this test will help define the biological and hydraulic metrics that we need.
This is at least a couple of years, maybe more, before we have a permanent fix here. So that's the thing. Automatic operation will be good down the road. Let's find out. And maybe go just for a year of actually doing this manually, and we'll give us an idea of what the automatic system wants.
The third year of doing this manual.
What's that?
The third year of doing this manual.
Well, I think it's a little different now. I mean, I don't know what we were doing in other years. I don't think any of us really know.
Oh, we know. Some of us were living through it. It seems.
I tried to put it out of my brain. Is what I tried to.
Yeah, I would too.
That's written.
I'm not talking about what you sat around and did in the meeting. I'm talking about what actually happened out there.
Right, but if the flow year isn't very high, we have 3 years where we didn't have to use this at all. Right. There was no problem.
Right. Exactly.
And so this year's shaping up to be one of those at this point.
May not be this year.
So. Mm-hmm. You know, it may or may not be a problem this year without doing anything.
Because right now the current FPP says run the midpoint unless you have a problem with gas.
Right. I mean, we're still going to be running at the midpoint.
And we actually gave you a potential little bit of flexibility because we've let you now, we've been giving you a little more flexibility than you had in the past years where it says that you can now be able not to generate them, but you now have best geometry at Powerhouse 1, which gives you a little more flexibility than previously had.
Yeah.
Powerhouse 2, we're still going to be doing this as those we have in the other year. It's still the same issue. It's still the same limit. We still have to find.
Well, that's the next step. The next step will be is like, then we need to figure out.
But I mean, we're stressing out that we have to have it by the spring. It may be that we don't have enough water to make it a problem.
We still have to run at the midpoint.
That's what we normally do.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
No problem.
Depending on our head and how much water we have and how it's going to spread that load across the powerhouse, it might not be an issue. You know, running up to 16K might be the upper limit with that, and it might not be
no problem at all.
A concern. No, but if we have a lot more water that we need to pass,
then you run into the problem.
Right. And so we're trying to fix the problem we had the last 2 years. But so far, the water supply isn't keeping up with that. So far. But last year, it grew from this point on. Mm-hmm. Right. Gangbuster. So it can always happen.
Yeah, March has been a goofy month the past couple years. Mm-hmm. So, anything else on, I say, direct generator operations we need to discuss? What are we missing?
You have everything you need.
I got everything I need. Like I said, I just need to talk to... You know, I need to talk to Showin and make sure that we don't already have a mode that we can put this on.
Okay.
I need to talk to Jerry Carroll and Dennis Schwartz to find out if the project is okay with narrowing the scope, which it looks like they've already have been. Mm-hmm. And then I just need to touch base with the GMC. Our next GMC meeting isn't until end of April, but if everybody is okay with it, I don't see why we can't get you do an email and say, hey, we want to do this. And then it all depends on what the GMC has got going on, whether they have to wait until the next mod or whether they can go out. And the problem is that anytime you make a change in the control system, it's a big deal. They got to test bench it to make sure that they don't put it in and the thing does a dead cockroach after they install it. So it's a pretty big thing to. That's why they wanted to mold it into a time when they were already going to test bench it. So that would be the next. It's bad to be a cockroach, yeah.
You said it's a bad bug if you kill a cockroach. You've got to make it better, though.
Yeah, you might want to touch base with it.
Unless you're using it to catch a salmon.
John, what do you got?
You might want to call Dennis. I was out of the office during the FPP meeting. Did the best operating point operation at Powerhouse 1, was that adopted? Was that approved?
It's attached right now as a change form. Right now it's a standalone. The thought is that we need to add language to it. I think
the table was accepted and we had to highlight it in red.
But the problem is we need to have language that describes when you would go to open
that's
geometry.
What this committee's doing.
That's what we're trying to figure out.
Yeah, but the table itself was accepted.
Yes.
So it means you can do it any time.
That's my question.
Well,
did we allow the operators to go up to best operating point
It doesn't say go to this operating plant. All we did was add these columns.
We added the describer with the best. You want to say operating port and best geometry. What do you guys want to call
it? It says best operating point. That's from HDC.
So, best operating point, we've now defined it. We still have not defined language of when we do it.
Right, and so that's
where this change is. I actually wrote the language for that. Yes. I can throw it out there. I mean, it's when the FPOM decides to do it.
Well, simple as that. Can we?
The risk of having that table there is they will use it.
Well, yeah, I guess that's what I would.
Put it on a fold out so we can't see it. Okay, those guys are smart.
Yes and no. I mean, there's a lot. So you're talking about having 35 people on the same page. So
35 people on the same page. That's his job.
Plus short points. Well, you got all the operators in our house, and then you got all the project operators.
I was quoted on the internet one time saying that, you know, if you have any three L grades in the room, you have four distinct and violent opinions. So. And I hold to that, yes.
So what we're trying to make sure is that we don't endorse the...
Start operating there for a reason.
Right, because we're doing it right now. I mean, they've already limited our range with no guidance to that point. And we'll go above it.
Who? The Bonneville?
Yes. Why do you think we're spilling as much as we are for the lamp?
And they won't go above what?
The best geometry point.
Best operating.
That's higher than
best operating point.
That's best operating point.
Well, it is. That's like 1%
C's. I know.
You can go to full generator right
now. He wants to go to full generator.
I see.
We have for years and years and years.
Well, that's to say in the FPP that there's no constraint.
Yeah. I completely agree with you guys, but I'm just bringing up an example of why.
Well, then maybe they should read the...
Come on, these guys...
Hausman, have your operators read the document.
You're painting a picture that the core is out of control here, in the control room, and I don't think that's quite the case.
Well, I'm not going there. But
well, you can wait till Thursday.
Are you trying to say Larry Cohen will work more than often than not?
I just know that they're operating...
spend a lot of time with control.
And you're sure it's not...
He's amongst his people.
Due to the current line restriction, my understanding was when I posed that question, it was the current Bonneville inflow or function of the current line restrictions. Because I posed that question.
Right, there was a difference.
So I'm gonna make one statement and then I gotta get out of here. That, you know, the FERC NERC worry is, you know, the only really thing that makes a difference is if they take the unit off AGC, automatic gain control, okay, and that's taking it off the regional AGC, and as long as they notify the dispatcher that they're taking it off, they're done.
Do they do that in Snake right now?
Yes.
Okay, so same procedure they're using there.
Yeah. So is they just call the dispatcher and say, hey, you know, I'm taking the second power off house off AGC, and then what BPA will do, they'll just shift that AGC.
To the place
sense
don't have
to yes. someplace else. Yes. Okay, so as long as they do that and they notify before they have to actually take it off, then you've got no reliability concerns. So I know that that's come up a couple of times. And yeah, it's all about communication. As long as they tell the dispatcher. And the other thing is, you know, outages and everything. If it's, you know, if it's fish related, it's usually okay. Even this latest one, where Dennis decided to go from 4 o'clock to 5 o'clock on the outages.
Well, he did. That was the PDT.
Yeah, I had to rule on that too. So as long as it was an existing outage, you can extend an existing outage. But if you wanted a new outage, you had to have 72 hours, or have a fish emergency, or a unit emergency, or call it a forced outage.
So, Tammy, one other action item that Trevor so eloquently brought. If Jim Keel did such a wonderful job on the Powerhouse 1, is he also going to do a wonderful job on the Powerhouse 2 with the limitations we talked about, operator range to get a table of Powerhouse 2? That would make a lot of sense.
That's a good question. John?
So?
Yeah, don't do that.
Is Jim Keel going to do that? Have they accepted a request to do it yet?
Your discussions with Jim Keel and Bill.
You've been included on all of them.
I haven't talked to him directly. Okay. Gary made a request, and
if we can have a follow up on that,
that would be
awesome. Yeah.
But you didn't do it as FPOM, so I don't know why.
That'd be the best thing to take the operators. Can you do this? Not just PPA, but can you?
Let's get a table.
Right. Get a table.
Well, we will The more I thought about that, the more I decided it really wasn't a Jim Keel issue anyway. This is a flow.
Oh, that's right. We were going to just do the math.
Yeah. We just do the math and put in the plan. They can do it. There's nobody out there that needs to rule on this. It's within the 1% band right now. It's not like, oh, this is something new that we've never done before. It's what we do all the time.
However you guys want to do it, just
so
I will do the math and get you a table.
Operation, a middle flow operation. It's easy. Just do the math.
Just divide it by two.
Yeah.
That part's
easy. There's no reason why, unless the project comes back and says, well, we can't do this. I don't know why we can't.
So I'm going blue collar comedy here, saying get her done and report back. Probably not F. Paul, I'm guessing this Thursday. I'm guessing it'll be sometime after that.
So this isn't really a gym.
I can do math.
Okay. Awesome, Paul.
I've got the table if you want it. Already done.
It's already done. There you go.
Awesome. Submit it with put it on the F. Paul agenda.
Right.
As table.
Yeah. As a change form.
Yep. Change form.
Well, I think what we'll do is we'll probably meld it with the other one.
Yeah, wouldn't it just be an abandoned
room? Is that what he used when he did his math?
I can do math.
Did he say mid-range in his?
How many cough drops does it take?
That's two. Right.
Okay.
I haven't been coughing too bad yet.
Well, you have a cough. Say I have a cough. That's not me then.
Shut up. Yes.
Got to plug it to you. That's my Wonder Woman belly powers.
You're a backstop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Bob.
You are very welcome.
Thank you.
Listen, I'll get back to you.
Just like at home.
Here,
probably within a week.
Non-contaminated by Tom.
So the other continuing outstanding issue is still a dissolved gas issue. So at some point, that conversation has to be had somewhere.
Why don't I? Can I commit to running that down from our folks? I mean, my understanding is, from their perspective, kind of consistent with what Gary's articulated, is if we regional salmon managers redefine what the 1% ban is, and it's defined as now capping and essentially derating units, then anything above and beyond that. So I will, after today's meeting, we're kind of defining what it is now, so this is getting very ripe. I will commit to going back and talking to Kim Johnson, Bill Proctor, and others just to say, hey, there's a task group that's going down the path of derating units that'll result in certain impacts on spill. Where are we on policy with that? And so,
okie dokie.
But that's, again, that's...
The language is written up in my last... My memo on this stuff, so
it's
all good.
Can you
find
your way out?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you have a meeting scheduled yet with Holly and Richie?
Oh, that'd be awesome. Can I not be there for that?
Why?
No, there's one coming. I just don't know if the date has been set yet.
The topic of it, or was this going to be thrown off that meeting?
No, this and the Kelsberger are going to be the...
Really?
Really?
The Kelsberger?
Meeting about that?
The Kelsberger?
Oh, God.
Holly's calling it.
That is so awesome.
I know, Holly's calling it. Why is Holly calling it?
She's the
What's
policy.
Jason up to?
Is Rock going to go, do you know?
She's the policy for power. This is a cost issue.
Well, last time I checked, wouldn't also someone like, I don't know, Core be there?
Yeah, I was just going to say, is Rock invited or anything? Because I would like him to be a part of it, since it will end up in his lap soon.
I made that suggestion. I haven't heard it back.
You made the suggestion, that was what I'm hearing. Okay.
You, Vern, and Rock, or you, Vern, and Dan were my three that I suggested.
No, okay.
He'll call somebody crazy.
But you made the suggestion.
Most communication is one directional.
Okay.
So I have not heard anything back.
How about when I talk on the gas issue, it would be a good opportunity to fold him in. Okay.
Because the gas issue plays into the operating issue. It plays into the trigger.
Correct, and it just plays into the knowing what you're doing is... You know, you've heard the, did you want to play the duck bounce for the day on the gas thing? Okay. Okay.
I'll do my daily duck.
Okay. So, but yeah. So as far as reporting out on that, I guess I'll just ignite the fire internally. I'm doubtful I would get a response back by Thursday, but they just need to be aware of the issue.
Obviously you do, I just say I report and we'll win here.
Yeah.
If you happen to get a response, awesome. If you don't, no worries.
I'm sure we'll hear roll over.
Stop.
Roll over.
Stop.
Technically, this is a roller because we've already been doing this. So.
Give me the biological and technical reason why not.
What I really like about this is because we're doing all this work now. I mean, I just feel like
we'll be able to pick it up in real time.
Average water year. This whole conversation, just because we're being so forthright now, and we're doing this, everything we're doing right now is how we should be doing business on everything. And because we're doing all this work on this now, I feel like we're not going to get water this year and have it be an issue.
So that's why we're doing
but
it.
But I'm just saying, because you look at the 10-year average, and it's like 325, and that's the magic number of right where this is. As long as we come in average water year per your memo, it's like we'll just squeak by. So.
Yeah, for this year.
For this year. But you're right. Yeah. But for this year, squeak. But anyway.
All right.
So you're just reinforcing my idea of going back to my office right now.
But the only other follow-up, as far as my understanding was editing of the...
Are you leaving, Rick?
...the model.
Are we done?
My understanding, because what I want to be able to do is for our folks mm-hmm. is to be able to forward something that is quote-unquote final. Mm-hmm. And as far as this goes, I know at their last meeting there were some discussions about what's an output. Any mods to this, or should I just... I want to know, what do I forward... To rock to say here's where we are now, here's a good summary. Grab this and say we're still where we are last year about right.
Does that make sense? Yeah,
I'll follow up with you after we're done just to make sure I can explain it. So please don't take 5 minutes.
How much work have you seen that car?
Yeah. John and I would both like to.
The kid trying to tell the guy trying to teach his kid how to throw.
But yeah, so
yeah, just retiring.
All right, so where are you at your... Okay, so I think we've got the operational turbine governor issue. That is off. Now, where I was going to start with, I guess I'll do a quick thing. Where are you on your rewrite of your overarching large memo?
I saw it.
Has anything changed since that? Okay.
I have some stuff to add and a couple of things to talk about.
I do have some stuff from John that I can add to it that will argue towards the permanent fix of this thing. We'll get that all filled out. But it's starting to really, I think, take shape. What we really need is to have a discussion on what the actual language is going to say.
Okay.
And that was what I thought we were going to talk about today.
So I just want to get an update on that.
Trevor's model and actual. That's what should guide our decision. And the adults are going to be the jokers in the deck. That's just going to really...
That's where I was going.
Say yes or no spill.
So, Gary, where's the latest draft of that?
Of what?
The large memo.
Yes.
End quote.
Of my memo?
Yes.
Tammy, did I send that to you or not? I handed it out the last meeting, but I don't remember if I actually sent you electronic or not of that.
So, the only question I had is because.
If you did, it'd be on the website.
Well, this is fine. I can.
Are you going to send it?
Version
yeah,
you sent me?
That's my question.
Are you going to send it?
I'm going to send you a reminder
to send it
to me. Okay, do you want to send it? Because the only thing I was thinking is I would take it, add the table from the Powerhouse 1 turbine operation table to that. And then did you have changes?
Yeah, I'm still waiting on some approval for my section, I know.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was done. Okay, that's how you sent it.
It's not quite done.
So...
All right, then.
But I have some other things in here to talk about.
What's your large memo that you're talking about?
It's the 10 points. That I sent out way back when.
Okay.
It's the one that started this whole thing way back
right.
when.
Okay.
The 10 points.
But there's a newer version.
Well,
the one that
I
shared last
week. Out today.
Can you?
Yes, what I had. Yes, yeah, so what I.
Yeah,
what
helpful.
We talked about last time, I'll send it out. Apparently, I didn't send it to Tana if I should have, so I'll make sure that she has it and then she can.
If you did, I posted it, but
you
if it's not what's on the
web. I was going to try to let Tableton send it to you, but then all hell was broken loose.
We had the other memo that Trevor...
Here, are you talking about the 6-page memo from January 3rd?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the 10 points.
Yeah, I thought I posted that because you sent it to John.
Well, I don't know if January 3rd, is that right?
It's got some red line and addition strikeout.
Yes.
That's on the web. I think that one's on the web.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Sweet. My job is done.
Well, John's got some, and then the only changes we're going to take that.
Just send out what you got.
We've had some of these meetings. I tried to update it for each one. I don't remember which one was last.
Exactly. So if you could just send out whatever the latest thing is.
Cindy Lee's thing. I will add table one from PowerOS 1 to it, and then we'll have also that's Tammy, and Tammy will put that. So those two change forms or whatever they are.
Why don't we put the PowerOS 2? Can somebody do a quick? I don't have the electronic. I have a hand. I can fax or I can attach a.
I'll just do the math and add a column to that table for PowerOS 2.
Yeah, if you've got the table,
if you want to do that, I can step back even further and.
Cool. Then we'll have both tables in there. Yep. All the rationale for the spill issue, gas issue.
Is it 20K? Did we can? What's the? I keep hearing 15. I've heard 20. What number? Can we just have the WAG? What's the WAG approximate number for
15?
So this is all over 15 that's going to go through PowerOS 1 and then the 15.
Oh, are you talking the amount we're looking at or the amount of volume we're changing around?
The amount that. So for example, when we're capping PowerOS 2.
That's 30. So that's
30
loss.
30 loss.
For a period of time, it goes through PowerOS 1 up to a point where you can reach full capacity of PowerOS 15.
11. 15, so it's...
The whole 30 can go there until you start reaching the total capacity of PowerOS 1.
Which is at
15. Then it all goes to spill.
Which is 15. And so I'm just trying to really concisely...
That's how much you can... No. Think about this.
I know.
What we're talking about is PowerOS 1 is not even running. PowerOS 2 is limited. As we bring PowerOS 1 up, we're putting 30K somewhere. 30K goes to PowerOS 1 until we hit that capacity of PowerOS 1.
Right, which
and then
is
that 30K
absorb.
Is going
to
go to spillway. And there's a ratio there. As the queue goes up, it's going to slide 15K is the actual capacity of overgeneration. But that's kind of done. We've done that. Our capacity is 15K higher, PowerOS 1.
Right.
So as we slide all that flow over, and the total flows come up, PowerOS 1 comes up, hits the top. Now this all goes over to spill.
In Gary's proposal.
It could be 30 more spill.
Okay, now remember what we...
15K spills with...
Stop! Good Lord, people. You don't remember.
It's like
do you want my children? To my children, I will get a ruler. So, all I'm saying is...
Her name is Cindy.
Yes. She wields it well. So, my point being, last year the whole name of the game was... generation control.
Right.
So we have coughed up a little extra PowerOS 1. The question will be is if we're still going to tease out as overall guidance, then we would not go to spill. That is the question that lays before this group. What do you do since we've expanded our range of PowerOS 1 now to go to best operating range to give us about an extra 15, 17, take your favorite number, and then...
You've actually limited your range at PowerOS 2 from the previous 2 years. It used to be 30, and now it's 11 to 15. So our wiggle space is much smaller now.
But I'm saying your overall maximum generation capacity has not changed from years past. You said 15
is what you want to. What's gone down is what we can actually generate and transmit.
At PowerOS 2 or at the full project?
Full project.
Because of the line.
Yeah,
and that's nothing we have any control whatsoever shape of.
And that shouldn't affect us too much on this.
Well, got rid of half the tool.
Okay. So, with that being said, do we want to go through Trevor's model? Do people feel comfortable with Trevor's model and the checkpoints? I thought we should go through the flow checkpoints that Trevor came up with, look at where those meet the hydraulic lines, see if there's any questions that we have or data we need what.
Before we get off the last talking point, so...
And we're coming back to that, don't worry.
Okay.
I'm just saying we're just jumping ahead immediately to the end point where Trevor gets to.
Okay.
What we need is go through and say, okay, here's this point. Here's the biological information at this point. This seems logical. Because if we get to, up to a certain point, we might be able to write something and say, okay, up to 315, we are okie-dokie.
Right.
After that, that's where the policy will be needed, is where I'm viewing this.
Or we need to lay out the operation.
Exactly.
We're not going to worry about policy or not policy or who's going to accept what. We need to lay out what we think is best for fish.
Okay.
Let that go out there and let the policy people chew on.
Okay. So my point is we will get to those
at
delightful...
At the end of today's meeting, let's walk through the whole operation, but I just want a clear technical message with how much more we're going to be spilling on this operation so that can be clearly captured.
Hence, by stepping through the operation checkpoints, we will get to the
sounds
point
good.
Where we would deviate from your past.
Got it.
Is that what you're looking for, I'm saying?
Spot on.
Awesome. So... Does anyone have an overall? Well, of course, Rick's gone now. Does anyone have any overarching questions about Trevor? How Trevor's model works? That's the first point I would say. So, if people are somewhat comfortable that Trevor
I'm a
has
a little behind with it, but
the question is: do we trust Trevor? Or do we think he's a ding dong? I'm going to say he's more towards the Twinkie, not the ding dong range.
What is the elevator speech on the point of Trevor's model?
The elevator speech?
Yeah. How do you explain this? The
cryptic 2-4 elevator speech.
Yeah. I mean, we
Trevor,
well,
creator
of. Let's wait for Rick.
Oh, yeah.
Because he wanted to.
He was the remaining desk that question.
So basically what these graphs are saying, if you can believe the model, it's the relative improvement metric is what the model pumps out, and that's the relationship between adults and juveniles.
Also, Dave, Wills?
Yeah?
Do you have this memo?
Which memo?
I handed out at the last meeting.
It's on the website, too.
That one's on the web.
I'll have to go get it.
Do you have it?
No. So, Rick, we're going to do a quick synopsis of how his model or what his model is attempting to do.
So what figure are you looking at?
So if you just look at, let's look at the first figure, 235K River. Relative improvement metric, that is the survival relationship between adults and juveniles. It's after adults and juveniles are on the same page using SAR, survival through the project, proportion of passage, all those factors, conversion rates of fallback fish. If you have a relative improvement metric of zero, there's no benefit, there's no detriment. If it's positive, there's a benefit, and if it's negative, it's a detriment to the ESU, be it spring chinook or steelhead or whatever.
And your benefit is based on juveniles and adults.
So in this, yes, based on juveniles and adults. For this, we want to see everything in the positive. If it's in the positive, it makes sense to do this operation. If it's in the negative, the model predicts that it's not a good idea to do the operation. And so what I did in this 235K is I ran it under three different scenarios, and each line represents one of those scenarios. You might refer to it as a series in Excel, they call it a series. So like the blue diamonds, that's a ratio of adults to juveniles. If it's 0.1, that means there's one adult for every 10 juveniles. Not a very likely scenario. We rarely would ever see a case where you would have one adult for only 10 juveniles during this period.
And I'll give you a quick, just sorry to interrupt the thing, did you and Vice President ever come up with how to figure out how to do the expansion?
The expansion, I got with Jeremy Cam. So I was using Smolt Index, and I knew that I wasn't very comfortable using Smolt Index, and he came up with an idea of using survivals at John Day and then kind of expanding that out to Bonneville. So I looked at his numbers, and then I was talking to Gary, and he was saying that the collection counts at the monitoring facility are an estimate of how many fish are going through the bypass system that particular day. And then I took Skalski's estimate of the proportion that are going through the bypass over the study, and I used that to calculate how many juveniles are going over the entire project, and I cross-referenced that to Jerry's work, and they came out exactly the same.
Okay.
So I just went ahead with the collection counts and the proportion going through the bypass to get an estimate of how many juveniles are arriving at the project in a given day, and then how many adults are arriving at the project in a given day. There's a ratio there. Obviously, there's going to be a lot less adults than juveniles. So that ratio is what you see in the series here. So basically with this 235 scenario, if we have one adult for 10 juveniles, this operation doesn't make sense because the fallback of all those adults overcompensates for any benefit that we're going to see with those few juveniles that are going through the bypass system. However, if you get to a case where you have one adult for 100 juveniles, it does make sense. There's enough juveniles present that there's going to be a benefit to the ESU, and that fallback's not going to overcompensate for that. So basically, in every case, every realistic case, it looks like with 235K River, it makes sense to do the operation according to the model, looking at all those different variables. So, is there any questions on that? I know that was kind of quick.
And could you cite the last meeting? I heard the 4% number thrown around as a metric of conversation. Could you
4% is of what expected survival? Improvement.
Oh, 4%, right.
That Lyle Gilbreth found that in his work that the spring chinook salmon had a mortality rate of 4% when tested at the upper end of 1%. When he went to mid-range, he found 0.5% mortality. So the difference is around 4%, like 3.5. And so when you look at that number, that's the bypass survival increase, this percentage of increase on the x-axis. That's what that's looking at, is how much can you buy into that we're going to get a survival increase from this? How much improvement are you going to get?
So when we consulted, what range did you use?
I used the entire range from 0 to 12% in this
original period. Consultation, though, we anticipated a 4% loss there.
Right. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
you're trying to say that zero was the goal, or zero was what was anticipated?
Whatever the base case is.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to do. The base case is actually probably 4%, 4% loss.
Mm-hmm. That's the 4% over that.
Is it over that, or is it just 4% over zero? Our current operating range is minimum to maximum of 1%, right?
Right. It would have been, the base case would have been whatever we tested under when we did the performance center test in 2010. Mm-hmm. That would have been the base case, and so we're looking at increase on top of that. Mm-hmm. That's how the model operated.
Okay. So, what are you talking about, Scott? Okay. So going to 300K River, you see a similar effect, you know, one adult per 100 juveniles. It makes sense to do this all the way through. When we start getting one adult per 20 juveniles, it becomes more iffy. And that case does occur during certain portions. I looked at 2010 in May, and there are some days where we had...
it's like 80,000.
Yeah, when you get like over 5,000 adults, you start to push into that range where you could have one adult per 20 juveniles. It happens sometimes. And so that's pretty much the story for 328 too. You get into that range of 1 in 20 adults and it starts to get where this is a wash and this may not make sense to do. So it's going to be a call whether we sit there and say, you know, when you get to this ratio, someone raises a red flag and we stop doing it, or we're just going to go ahead and accept this average benefit to loss over a time period as the way to go. Based on the data.
That 5,000 total fish passed the project?
Yeah, 5,000 passed the project.
Daily.
I summed it, yeah, for the day. Okay. Once we get into that range, it gets to where it's pretty iffy.
Well,
depending on how many juveniles.
It depends on the juveniles.
That was 2010. Right. Yeah, and somebody may have to, in order to get a really detailed look at this, it might be a good idea to look at those ratios over a few years to see, you know, how often does it fall into that 120 range. Before this kind of
so what are we using as the smolt value?
We're looking at collection counts, which are an estimate of how many smolts went over the bypass system in a given day.
Mm-hmm.
They provide that information. And I took that number and the proportion that Skalski estimated to have gone through the bypass system,
okay.
6%,
and, expanded it.
And I expanded that out for each day.
And for adults, we're just using the ladder count?
Ladder counts, both ladders summed together.
Oh, well, that's an interesting question. Would we use Washington Shore because those have much lower fallback rate as opposed to...
Yeah.
Does your model prorate it? Well, that's kind of a question.
Those kind of details are, I think, lost in some of the math. I mean, how much that would influence it. You know, what are you looking at? An influence of 3% maybe or something like that?
Well, it would change where the ratios would have.
Yeah, it would.
Because I don't want to cut this so far.
You want to make this a conservative enough
thing that you care to cover that.
Well, we got other questions. Like, after a certain time, part of the reason you have mortality is sea lions. If the sea lions stop being a threat down there, then you're talking more of a delay issue. And then so then you start talking about a delay issue, which is less of a concern than 2% mortality. So what do we do with those issues? I'm just trying to think, what do we do with those kind of issues?
I mean, how tight do you run this? Do you run it with like the 5,000 fish thing, you know, the ratio? I mean, does somebody run crank the model every day through the season? And if it hits a red flag, you pull back on the stick on powerhouse one and crank over powerhouse two.
Or you just take see how often that's likely to occur, and if it's less likely,
let it roll and
let it roll and consider an overall benefit.
Maybe you put in some red line where you say, like,
where it's really, just too bad.
It really gets really weird where there aren't many juveniles and adults really.
Yeah,
10,000 a day or something.
Oh, yeah, like 20,000, like we have this one where you estimate as well, like 19,000 a couple
see,
days.
See, much in the spring, but.
You do, but it's over like 2 days.
In the year. 2001 type of year, you might.
Mm-hmm. Last year we had a couple whole barrage spikes.
Did we? Over the.
But it's super short, it's like a day or two.
And that's going to be a problem. Are we going to chase this on a daily basis? Cause
well, I don't think you can, because by the time you know what happens, it's
for that.
You probably want to have a
Can you look at when, when does this normally happen?
It's going to be towards the end of May, because that's when your juvenile
That's what I wanted to ask. So
it's towards the end of May.
You can make a period this is the earliest part of the season.
Well, that's what I kind of wanted to hone in, too, on just time of operation. I mean, this is scoped as a spring Chinook adult, but getting back to the whole steel issue and juvenile issue, when is this whole bookend on this conversation? I thought I heard from you that the desire is to have this be the entire fish passing season, or just that this is the new, because once we derate Powerhouse 2.
Do you see the whole fish passage season then?
Well, that's our fish passage plan says. Yeah, we run this the whole season.
There's not enough juveniles passing when the steel head adults are going over to really want to do this.
I mean, just am I calling you? As far as passage index, adults, yeah. When are we? I'm trying to book in when we're doing this question. Is it?
Well,
so that's what I'm saying. Someone could take these numbers, these ratios, and what I predicted here, and really look in detail at when that is likely to occur through history. I just looked at it in one period.
But yeah, but I mean, if we look at that, so I didn't overlay them all together, but basically you've got your hydrograph here, mm-hmm. as far as for Chinook Passage, you've got, you know, adult overlaid with flow here, and then that, you know, syncs up as far as I should have run it with smolts as well. But I'm trying to figure out if this operation is being what the bookend is, and if it's desired to be season long, great, that's fine. But if we're
The fish passage plan does say to run but for gas at the midpoint at Powerhouse 2, and that's our operation.
That's season one
through the end of the season. We'd have to change that.
Well, because where I think this would, it's important that we know what the bookend is for juveniles, because I don't want to do what we did last year, which is we start out with Spring Creek, and we say, oh, it'll just a couple just weeks. It'll just be Spring Creek. And then by the time Sockeye is done, it was, you know, first week or two of June. So we had a big footprint, and so I'm just trying to understand, you know, what
that makes sense.
Is.
I mean, that's what this ratio, this 0.1, you know, adults to juveniles, that would occur for sure in August, September, when the steelhead are coming back.
Right.
And there's not going to be many juveniles coming down, so it would not make sense to do this.
I think, this is going to be an April through June operation.
Yeah, cut it off.
And we're going to need to tie it. You can do it like I was approaching Kelts, where you look at multiple years of data and say, okay, this makes the sense, best sense that this is the date that you started. Regardless of what's going on in the river, you start it and you run it through to this point, whatever that turns out to be in terms of adults or juveniles in the record. And then there you are. That's it. Rather than having your hand on the stick constantly changing.
Yeah. If you said April to June is when you'd want to...
June or through June?
Two or three.
I think it's going to be like the first couple weeks of June, somewhere in there. It's going to depend on smolt.
Right.
How fast the smolt. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of looking at Chinook as our... indicator species here, because that's what we have the data for. So,
and that's when most adults and juveniles are coinciding at the same time.
But it's great to refine the window down to when it's most useful.
Well, you're going to know what.
Well,
do the math.
Well, sure. But then right now, what happens is when we get out of that season, the flows go low enough where we quit doing it anyway.
Right.
I mean, we're running units, but there's no impact to anyone else.
Right.
And so it self corrects because the flow goes down.
Right. It runs the problem. The hydrograph resolves the problem, not us.
Correct. As currently.
Right.
So that's what I was thinking. I'd show you guys these numbers, and if there was buy-off on that, then we'd look a little closer into setting a time period. If we could, you know, agree that these are, you know, okay to use, then we pick some times where we want to actually do the operation.
I think we still probably should have somebody looking at the data. I mean, these are easily obtained data. It's the index daily. Ballinger gives it out every day, about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, somewhere there.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the counts, which is.
We could even task Ballinger with it. I'm sure he'd be okay with it if we showed him what he needs to look for.
It's just a simple math.
He'd be on top of it.
What's the ratio? The ratio is suddenly goes outside of what we're comfortable with, and we send out the
fly. Turn it down.
I don't know. He's trying to hit that button. Let's stop.
I know.
But we'd have to assume the same collection efficiency. You know, because I used to assume collection efficiency of 6.5% through the
bypass. And so we wouldn't have any new data on that. You would have to take its collection counts and expand it by that number and assume that that hasn't changed for whatever reason, which isn't necessarily true because depending on the flow year, you're obviously going to have more fish going over the spillway. So that 6% can vary a little bit.
But wait a minute. I'm sorry. Back up again. What's the 6%?
The 6% is the proportion of fish that Skowski estimated to have gone through the bypass system in 2010.
That's a good, that can be, I mean, we have multiple years of guidance efficiency, which is what that is, and multiple years of routing of fish from powerhouse.
Yeah.
And the percent that goes to the corn collector and all these, well, guidance efficiency, I didn't even. As long as you know guidance efficiency and the number of fish or the routing, which is pretty much one to one at that powerhouse at that dam, you can do an algorithm that takes
based on flow
that expands. Yeah.
Okay.
A flow based algorithm that will expand the collection count to a population. I think that's good enough.
That's what it would take to
because that's that otherwise we're fooling ourselves on our accuracy here. I think so. That's what I would use as an index or our action index, whatever you want to call it. And then you combine that with your adult counts.
I was going to say
get your ratio, and there you are. And we pick a point, and if that ratio goes above a certain point, of then or drops to a certain point, or how you're looking at it, then somebody waves the red flag and says, wait, we should
do we continue? The question is, do we continue the operation?
Well,
the
question is,
should we continue the operation?
Right. Should we stop or not?
Yeah.
Because it's looking like now, it's not going to be a benefit.
Do we want to take, because FEC, this S&P guys basically make an index, which is basically
the index is useless for this.
There's a small data index and there's a collection count, which is an estimate.
There's three pieces of data they provide: a sample, collection, and index. The sample is what number of fish they actually count. Then it's expanded to a collection, which has to take the bypass number of fish to the bypass. And the index is just expanded for spill. It's not expanded for the other powerhouse, not expanded for FGE.
No, that was my question. What the index was, the index just for powerhouse two, or is it including spill?
It's for, well, it's for Bonneville Dam, but it's just basically just an index.
You don't cover that, so you're saying take the collection efficiency and then we'll do the expansion.
Yeah. Okay. Using the collection efficiency is the only thing you have an estimate that really makes any sense for, and that's just for bypass. And then we can expand that by FGE and by routing the flow.
I just want to figure out, I want to make sure we got the process.
It's the best we have. All we can do is John Day minus mortality, but that's
crazy. No, you just take the collection efficiency and we'll expand it. That's fine. Better than you can do.
So that makes sense to me. You just build that, and then if folks are agreeing to that, then that goes to somebody to do that. Dean's the guy who sits there at his desk and goes through all that.
The question is,
he does have time, I think, and he's the guy who has the data.
Are these GDAX guys and operators going to be able to sit there and say, all right, today we're on, not today we're on?
I don't think we should do that. I think we need to look at this and see how blocks. There's got to be a buffer,
I mean, it's almost like the problem is the adults are so damn spiky.
But how critical is your 5,000? Is 5,001, or is it
usually it happens?
Is it forecasted on an upward trend? It might be 5,000 over the weekend,
2 days in a row,
or is it two consecutive?
We could look at John Day counts and say, hey, there's a bunch of juveniles coming in.
Well, most of your juveniles are driven by hatcheries.
He used actually survival off John.
You'll know what data they're showing.
Adults are typically, they don't spike a lot. I mean, it's like maybe once or twice during the spring.
But they're over 5,000 when there's, that number is normally over 5,000. Once you go beyond it, it seems to be beyond it.
Be beyond it, and it stays there and then drops down. It might go beyond it again later in the season, which we've been seeing a two-hump spike.
But by then you're out of your window that you're thinking of doing it anyway.
Yeah, and this is only really once you're above 315.
Yeah.
Well, even spring you can see a double hump in that. But that's still nice. Maybe twice five. You have to make a change. Not
every day. 235.
I don't want to.
Yeah,
that's
the
harvest difference.
Spill.
Gilbert is on Tuesday.
Well, we have to worry about this adult and juvenile ratios even before we go to over generational spill.
Yeah, but then you're going to show, what are you going to do, cut back on spill?
You're only spilling 100 and you haven't filled up powerhouse one yet.
How do we overcome the spillways, our lowest route of survival?
Well, hopefully we just did by filling the concrete in.
But I mean, that's one question that comes up frequently is that adding more spill is not known to be the safest route at that point.
It is. It's better than turbine, the powerhouse, too.
Got to think about delayed mortality.
All right. That's it.
Yep.
And honestly, what I would do is, we have that one pager from Mattel. That's going to inform us a lot of, is that, that's what we need, the piece of information. I think it's going to be critical from a policy standpoint. Like, if you can show, like, hey, it looks like all of our spillway survival problems were, hey, were we just fixed, or was it a constant problem across the whole spillway? That's going to dictate a lot about
how we're going to handle these in the spillway.
Do you think, but does your gut tell you repairing three bays will
maybe for next year actually
make that appreciable bump in
survival? It was more than just 3 bays. There's also a lot of undercutting and all that kind of stuff.
There's a lot of rebar was taken out.
A lot of rebar and all
the undercuts were filled.
There's holes in the spilling basin. Still. There's areas where fish can.
Rocks were removed.
But still, there's still a problem.
But
still,
would,
yes. Potentially.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see what's
better, a lot better than it was.
Testing
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So, yeah,
now, the question is, because if you back into 04,
no, I agree.
05,
and so that's where I get blowback is saying, why in the world would you be recommending the route that we have tested and tested and tested?
Really no, you have not.
Really
the only time, it was just from in 10 and 11, we saw some things, which were different than we'd seen previously from 04, 05, 02, where spillway survival was much higher. Now, the question you're going to say, was it because the new testing methodology was so much better, we did better jobs? I'm not going to make that argument, because a lot of the other routes stayed about the same in survival. So I don't see why the spillway, the change technology would somehow make the spillway look better
mm-hmm.
or worse.
Right.
So I think it's more of the erosion over time is what I'm thinking is, or unless we've had a change of donation. And those are two questions mm-hmm. I can't answer very easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why I'm hoping to get Patel's thing, if we can maybe bring out and see it's more of a locational issue, then I have some comfort that we may have fixed it. If it's across the whole spillway, then that really muddies the water all the more, and I get a big headache.
Did you include in the model the survivors? Spoilers. So that it came out still a benefit.
Mm-hmm. No, I never did test. I never did any runs with additional, with spill over 100K. I just spilled to 100K. I never did anything over that.
But that's what it makes you do in our request.
Right. Exactly.
So that's why
yeah.
when you run it, you may wash out all your benefit. That's the part that I would have.
Yeah, I didn't really know how to handle that.
Because his model has the lower survival.
He's the proportions changing.
He never
stuff
added
how does the proportion change when you go to spill or really through the spill right down the river. So
no,
how does that draw adults differently?
No.
Then
but
just
from
going
standpoint.
Right.
He stopped in a magic
that's,
flow. That's
you did
plus
have that.
Power
as you went up in more spill or down
the
spill,
which
you had
aided by several percent.
Cost yeah. of
which might
survival
for
spill
past
fish
pushing
up. Right.
Right.
And that was
right.
based on
yeah.
the
they,
2010,
yeah.
12,
yeah.
11.
It was like 95 or something like that.
So Trevor, you never changed proportional fish going through the spill?
I used the proportion that Skalski had as a constant over the entire study in May.
Oh, okay.
I used that proportion.
So even if more spill is going through there, you didn't change the proportion?
If you put more spill going through there, you would actually reduce your survival over the bypass.
Correct.
Simple as that. I mean, the wood.
You're pulling. I mean, you're putting more fish through the spillway, and the survival rate of the spillway is lower than bypass for
right.
Chinook. It wasn't for Steelhead.
Right.
That's the.
But that's not looking at delayed mortality. Everyone knows that C0 fish survive better than C1 fish. Maybe not Bonneville.
Bonneville's a question.
But, yeah, Bonneville's different.
Yeah, but we do have information that says the turbines of B2 are worse for certain species than others. And it's actually lower
steelhead.
Survival
for steelhead.
So the more fish you put through B2, the more likely you're going through a turbine.
Right.
So.
Right, and that's part of the model too.
But I think even
did
turbine
you?
Survival is better than spillway. So.
Not for steelhead.
Not for steelhead, but for
yeah,
sure.
Steelhead were better through the spillway.
For Chinook it was.
But it was opposite for Chinook.
No.
The steelhead, yeah, they were better through the spillway.
Yep.
Then the B1 turbine, mm-hmm. B2 turbine.
B1 or B2?
And B2.
So when you said juveniles,
B1 and
B2. You're saying all juveniles, right?
This looks at just specifically spring Chinook. I can do a run. I have a model set up for steelhead.
No, the question is what we're going to do is, are we going to sum all juveniles together and sum all adults
together?
No, it was just
spring Chinook.
Oh, Christ. Do you realize what that does? Once you've got a shitload of steelhead juveniles.
Steelhead, we don't have steelhead through the spillway.
That's not going to make sense.
If you pull more steelhead through the spillway, which is the only concern here, then it just is better. I know, it's not a skillet issue.
What I'm saying is then you're basically, then because you're only looking at the Chinook ratio, the Chinook might say, no, we should shut off because we're going to get a cipher benefit for adults. So we should increase powerhouse tube flow, which means you're going to pull more steel up here, which is going to put more through the turbines, less through the spillway. That's going to be negative for them.
How do we care to say we're going to go to the spillway with flow?
Well, we're going back to...
I'm just trying to think how this operation is going to run. If we're going to try to use this ratio on a weekly, daily, whatever number we're going to use this, if we're going to try to use this as a trigger to operate this, then you start getting a headache with these...
It's not an adult issue for steel.
Yeah, and how do you relate the two species?
It is a juvenile issue.
You're going to take a hit to, if you go with not doing that, not switching back to powerhouse 2, you're going to give a hit to spring Chinook adults for the sake of steelhead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Juvenile. Well, and then that question is, which would Noah prioritize, steelhead or spring Chinook? You guys will probably prioritize steelhead.
Yeah, unless they're from Upper Columbia River, then I don't know.
You probably really prioritize them then.
But steelhead really don't see the benefit, I don't think, in the bypass. Mid-range operation as much as
they don't. Where you see it is that by putting more powers through there, you're going to increase the guides through powers too, because the guides for steel is low. You're putting more through the turbines, which has lower slot than spillway, so it's like,
fuck. Well, but the salvation of that is the majority of our efficient power has two with the quarter factor. That's 75%.
We hope so.
If it's open.
Yeah, great, don't say that.
What?
I want to get your adrenaline up.
I thought maybe you knew something that I didn't know about the cracks.
Yeah, the epoxy.
Didn't hold
some more. What?
It's gone.
Yeah.
Epoxy, what epoxy?
Maybe we make a call if this makes sense because of that issue.
I don't see that changing anything.
I mean, not have a red flag. You just run because of the steelhead benefit. It's not going through powerhouse too.
Did we ever look, so you had the ratios, but did we ever look at, because David's work was too messy, you'd start breaking breakpoints up, when the breakpoints of powerhouse one operation, where we saw differences in adult passage, and it was too messy because of cascading.
It's tough to have a trigger based on that.
No, I was just seeing, is there like certain flows, like once you're at more than 5 units of powerhouse one, you're not really going to draw any more adults over there, so you're not really increasing adult fallback. And that would make sense, but there's no way to support it with.
Just logic.
It looked like the fallback got worse and worse, or the proportion that went to powerhouse one got worse and worse up till 328, and then it starts to taper back down. Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem during the season is that you've got Bradford running and you've got spill, and you're not stopping spill, so, or I should say Bradford's B. So B branch is always pulling fish over there, regardless of what the powerhouse is doing.
Yep.
It's run by the spillway. So, unless it spills so high that you're blowing fish out of the spillway, then it matters. But there's so many facets here, but that's what the model's supposed to do. That's the light you have in that.
Hey, Tom?
Yep.
I'm going to have to drop off because I'm so totally lost in this conversation, I don't know which side is up. So, I can't find the write-up on this model that was being discussed. So if somebody can send that to me along with at least an outline of what the proposed change form is going to look like. I'm going to be meeting with our ESA permitting people tomorrow, and I want to dump it all in their laps and find out what's going on.
Probably won't be available by tomorrow.
If we come up with the outline of the change form, we'll gladly send it along. I was more optimistic before the meeting started. I'm getting less so that we'll actually have something. What we might be able to do is make the.
Five. I'm going.
Let's try. Yeah. What we might be able to do is come up with. Maybe we could write up like operational checkpoints of where we see probably the significant changes be.
Okay. Well, the basic points aren't going to change. I guess if you can get that down, that's good. And what the major operational changes.
You got any recommendations for us, Dave?
What?
You got any recommendations for us?
Cap the powerhouse 2 at the midpoint of the turbine operations and cap the operations at powerhouse 1 at 1% and spill everything else.
Okay.
I just
want to make sure you had your chance.
Yeah, well, because right now, other than that, it doesn't fit the FCRPS buyout for bull trout. So I'm going to need these write-ups.
Okay.
Mm.
I just wanted to get an idea of what you were thinking.
With perfect.
Thank you.
Hey, Dave, any changes in your release dates for Spring Creek?
Nope.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay.
So Dave, we'll talk at, I think FPAC is 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it a call or a meeting?
It's a face-to-face, but I got a call.
My fault, I wasn't there in person today. I didn't get this on my calendar, and I screwed up, so.
See you,
okay. We'll see you, Dave.
Bye.
Hey,
Ben.
Hey, Ben, are you still listening?
If we're doing,
yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
If we're doing an operation, though, at Powerhouse 1, that's, you know, that benefits Salmon, and we've got the, all the TSP work that's gone into identifying the best operating point, is it reasonable to think that it would be a benefit to Bull Trout as well?
Their BIOP was written such that if you change anything at the project, then you are in violation of it. It doesn't allow
you say
for
change anything. Anything past normal operations.
From the baseline of this is how you operated whenever that BIOP was written. And it only includes basic routine maintenance. So if the dredging, we had to go through and do consultation on that. It was not written with the same flexibility that NOAA wrote.
Does the Bull Trout BIOP with U.S. Fish and Wildlife prevent us from adopting a best operating point?
No, it's just a hoop we have to jump.
No, you just need to coordinate it.
Well, it does prevent you from operating to it until you finish coordination with them.
Right.
With their term of stake on the, into the...
So this another joker in the deck right there.
Yeah.
All this could just be a waste
of
time.
A lot of jokers.
I mean, if they say no, which Mason or anybody would be inclined to say, then...
You just
especially agree. For the open geometry part of it, which I thought we'd actually got past that.
Yeah,
you
to,
have not...
That's a given that's thing.
I know. Cardi just threw on the table before he left. You have not got beyond it.
No, U.S. Fish don't think it's going to say anything about that. I was willing to make that concession. So, yeah, I don't think it's a problem.
So who's the boss over? Who's the ESA person? Or who's the contact now?
Over
it's no longer. Well, it's no longer Vancouver office, I assume.
It's not Seller. It's not his.
I have no idea.
Because he just said he has to come meet with ESA because Dave's no longer in charge of the...
We've got to come over here.
Right. So don't we need to start figuring out who that person is?
It would be good to have that person here. Have a discussion.
If they're going to throw down that they're going to stop everything, okay, who? So, who can find whoever that is?
Yeah, because that limits us down to nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, so
we're really wasting your time. So
well,
when they send
I can write us ours.
Well, then we won't be able to do them because
no, they'll support those.
So did they agree to this operation last year though?
Because
I think
they
did.
Yeah, supported last year. But every time we had
a
check, and they reminded the region that they didn't necessarily they weren't going to object, but
they don't have a track
additional data, additional empirical data that would document what we were doing at Powerhouse 1 wasn't the end of the world.
So they didn't support, but they didn't object.
Correct, but every time we checked in, they reminded, and I think, you know, as far as...
Did they sign a PSLR? People signed a couple of them.
You're correct, but in the operation we did was never what the SOR was, so...
That's true.
So you're right, they signed on to the SOR, but
so
what the Corps did was...
The non-existent bull trout are going to trump the salmon passing through bottom? I don't think so.
I was going to say, at some point, NOAA's got to say,
Yeah, this is a straight-faced test. Doesn't make sense. Law is law, but this doesn't make any sense.
Okay, but can you open some relationships or communication between you and...
I thought Dave was our guy.
He's supposedly no longer it. That's why he's having to go to these other
things. There's no way to fish. I just tried to call Fish and Wildlife Service this morning. No answer. So I got on the webpage to see if I could find somebody else to call, and the webpage was down temporarily, at least for me.
Did you call 2550? Did you call 2550?
I don't know 2550. I was just trying to find a number, and it wouldn't even give me that.
Yeah.
And
what is 2550?
Well, listen, Dave, it's 55. That's our front desk.
Front desk.
2550.
I was trying to get hold of Sheriff Gallo.
36604.
Nobody's there. Lights are on, maybe. I'm not even sure that's true. But certainly nobody seems to be home. So I don't have a whole lot of... faith that I'm going to get a hold of anybody for this either.
What's Dave's?
Hmm?
What's Dave's?
I always have
6-5. No, 2550
trout.
2550 is Dave.
Yeah.
It's the front office.
Should I throw a lamprey in there?
There aren't any there.
I know.
I'll throw a lamprey in there. Should
I do that? Just the news. I would think they get.
Well, that's what you'll see on all the MOCs now, that language about the bull trout under fish impacts. Because Dave wanted it in there to show that we're...
Well, that's fine. I mean, they can play the game, but at the end of the day, there's going to be a push and shove.
And there should be.
Salmon, tens of thousands, millions of salmon will weigh out against... Dave?
0.1.
One every 4 years.
21 since when?
0.25.
Counting.
Yeah.
Is that even a bottom enough?
Yeah.
I think we've had a couple of them.
My only point before we go back to what Tom was saying before, this is just, I just wanted to remind folks, this is what we did. This was Operation 13 that we did, but just for clarification, it was the June 4th. This was for sockeye, and I just wanted to remind folks as an example of what one of our last operations was last year, and as far as scoping our conversation as we leave today, either I want you to come up here and write what it is we're coalescing around that's different than last year, I will write it, whatever, but this is an example of what we did last year. So Powerhouse 2, we went up to the 25% of the 1%. Then we went back to Powerhouse 1. We went up to 100% of the 1%. Then we went back to Powerhouse 2, operated within 25% of the 1%. Then we took Powerhouse 1 up to best geometry. This was like the plus 30K.
That's the regeneration.
Yeah.
Number that was the 2012 best geometry.
Right, that was.
And then...
That's operating point.
Powerhouse 1 best geometry. And then essentially, that's where we capped the op, and then we didn't voluntarily spill anything on the top. So it was a flow neutral op. Powerhouse 2.
You weren't up to upper 1% of Powerhouse 2. You went involuntary spilled it before you went to the upper 1% of Powerhouse 2.
Correct, because we capped it, but that last year was the dream operation where the whack-mole of capping Powerhouse 2 and using 30 KCFS magically propelled Powerhouse 1, so we could
articulate the
policy
of
people.
But that's
just a whack-a-mole operation, but now we can't do that. We've gone from 30 now down to 15, so now we're still trying to figure out what to do with the 15. So as far as this year's goes, I'm just trying to figure out what we're...
Well, the first one's gone. Disappeared.
First one's gone,
so
yeah.
It's going to be 50%.
Or nothing.
Or thereabouts, around 50%.
Yeah, we're 25% of the 1%.
Well, we started, that's what we did. You know, we hopscotched back and forth, the 25 to the 50, the 50 to the 75, and then we went through that. Again, this is number 4.
Yeah, okay, but for this year, just take it off
draw
there.
Draw a line through.
We don't need the... Right, just cross it out.
We want A gone?
Yeah.
We're moving on.
Yes.
My parking's going to run out.
Okay.
Park side of the building, they changed their parking people, so there's no enforcement.
So you want to start with Powerhouse 2?
We should read.
There's no parking
for a week. Maybe you might want to start a new one.
No, for a week.
Then it's $75 of...
They're changing who owns.
Oh.
They sold it off.
So this would be...
We don't know who knew what, so...
2013.
Oh, no, change who you write your monthly passes to.
Yeah.
Operate up to the midpoint, whatever the midpoint's defined as, and the swap.
So,
right, you gotta define a range around it. Cause
give me first,
40 to 60.
We'll get there.
Powerhouse
2. Powerhouse 2.
Midpoint plus range.
Yeah.
PH2.
Powerhouse 2, midpoint plus range.
Not up to.
Just go.
That.
There you go. Midpoint plus range.
Midpoint plus whatever range.
Plus the range you can allow it.
Right.
Because that's how we're supposed to run anyways. That's what I think. I think that's what we've all agreed to.
Just to have something to throw something at, so how about, you're saying, so can we just, based on this language, how about, can I say 50% plus or minus 5%? I don't know.
Just say 40 to 60 if you have to. But
range.
You know that it'll be swapped.
Okay.
40-60?
Range.
I don't give a rat.
Perfect.
The number will fill in later.
All right. What do you want for B?
All flow goes over to Powerhouse 1 until...
Best
cheer on the train.
Yes.
The plus 15K.
Well, no, your Powerhouse 1.
It's 30 in
that's the BG.
Powerhouse 1 to BOP.
Get 30.
Yes.
It'll get what would have been a Powerhouse 2.
Another acronym. Another acronym.
Well, you have 30 to deal with.
Best operating point?
BOP.
That's what we've got to call?
That's what HTC calls it in their table.
That is BOP.
I think we should just go with HTC.
New acronym. New federal acronym.
It's very fitting.
Nice.
Sharpie.
It's a better one.
So whether that's the whole 30K, depending on how many units are running, or...
It's totally not, but...
It's this table.
It's not BOP.
No, but well, no, if you've got five units running over there, you can move that 30K all to Powerhouse 1.
Mm-hmm. No. Yes, that would be generator limit,
if you only have five, yes.
You can't do it at some point.
And there is a magic flow when you lose
capability.
And
yeah,
then
this
is where we have no military. Yeah, we have no to agreement. At
so point. Then you potentially have 15K right. to go somewhere else, right?
Involuntary.
If the flow is high enough.
It's a sliding scale.
Correct.
So it's really a C, what do we do next?
Alt 1 would be...
throw up your hands and...
You power one to generate a limit.
Bob.
You're already there.
That's operating point.
No, generator is not available.
He's calling my whole one.
No.
Well, if that's the case, then you have to go to spill.
No, we'll go back to
Powerhouse
2.
Oh, you go to Powerhouse 2.
You either get to Powerhouse 2 or you get to spill.
So,
that's the fourth.
There's two points. Two things you can do. You either spill it or you evaporate it as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
Or start taking mouthfuls.
Oh, three. A California straw.
Yeah. Get the silly open the NAVLOCK question.
Hey, I
like that.
Open
just
the old NAVLOCK.
Open the NAVLOCK.
I like that.
Open the old NAV. That's what that's for. Wow. 60K right there.
Love that.
Wash them right out. What the?
Wash the whole island away.
There goes the tack counts.
It comes every
you wouldn't have any head on the project anymore.
No passage in the ladders. No problem there.
Actually, that would become your passage of the ladder. You have one.
Your nav lock would be one.
You can put it down.
Yeah, you got to put it down. It comes
a nav lock.
No. Is this an EIS discussion?
Okay.
That's not a physical capability, as a matter of fact. No, it's not. The old one will not open, and the new one is a security issue.
I'm trying to get a smile out of you.
Tammy, we're kidding.
No.
We always get asked questions.
No, my parking is running out, and my head hurts. Let's go. No nav lock!
Hey!
Jeez. How about Ricola? And by the way, you did not get what I had.
So, Powerhouse 2 to 100% are involved is the fork in the road.
Make it so they wear something.
Yeah,
kicking your ass.
Then you can play
ammo.
If you start going lower GI and upper GI, then you
run out.
No, I got a few more minutes. It's alright.
That's
it. Oh, now I probably have
tickets. Okay, so that's really what it comes down to. That's really what it comes down to.
It does.
Yep.
So, you guys have gained. Here, where you gained about plus 15.
Plus 15.
11 to 15 to be benefit.
Or 17, too. So it's basically, you gained about between 11 to 17.
I don't
17.
Think you get the whole 17 because your power line, your power sticks in.
Well,
that's the other issue.
It's right at
that. That's the Joker.
Yeah.
It's right on the edge.
So the hit is whatever, 15K.
Is an awful lot of jokers.
From what we did last year, it would be 15K.
Mm-hmm. And so the unresolved issue still hasn't changed.
It just lowers the threshold you get to it.
That's
the total river flow is lower now than it was last year that we have to make this call.
Why do you think it's lower? Because of Powerhouse 2?
Because you can't
power
as much. You can't keep your Powerhouse 1 limitation that gives you 15K lower before you hit that threshold. You can't swap anything.
So, yeah, and could you remind that? So you say Powerhouse 1 minus 15K this year during spring. And then what else, what are there, other than that 15K minus that we lost during spring, summer, can you highlight, is that 15K just Powerhouse, what is that? Can you highlight?
1, 2, 9, and 10. If those units aren't broken and they're running, they're limited to 150 megawatts.
So
that's the 15 you're talking
that's
about.
That's the 15K.
Right. You can go to 220 megawatts on them.
Then,
so you've lost 70, so you divide 70 by 3 or 4, depending
on
what you're
doing. So you don't have to go
all the way to 100%.
Yeah, that's otherwise. April, August, or April, when do we have that
15? September 15th.
April is April 1.
When the temperature comes back down, then you start getting some of the
kills. This is this year.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to extend that table 1A.
It just lowers the capacity of Powerhouse 1. So
what is the maximum capacity of Powerhouse 1?
15K lower.
The problem is, if we cannot operate
for the upper end of
1%,
it's 15K lower.
Then why bother?
So that's 15K.
If this becomes a seasonal year-round issue that we cannot operate outside and go to maximum generator,
can you go for it?
Yes.
Then why but five of the rest?
10 units running,
can't
use
it.
Well, the other units
are
outside
the
that's why you can
call generator limit, whatever you want to call it. The upper end, whatever. You should be able to do that outside the fish patch season, right?
So we're is that 150?
Well, we thought we could. We're not sure if we can.
Well,
we have to have conversations with the Corps as to why they're doing what they're doing.
Okay, well, that's...
Doug was saying they're saying it's power... Some of the operators say it's because of the table. Some of it's saying it's because of the line. So we need to get to the ground.
Well, the line's your issue. The table's our issue.
Right, but whoever's using it for which reason, we need to make sure.
Well, then that's something you guys can work out. Because I mean, I think from an FTP standpoint, we're fine with it. You got outside the fish mesh season, we were on a really push up there, Brent, and
just going by the guidelines.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Outside the guidelines, we work that out.
But if we can't use it outside the season, there's no justification to get it fixed.
When? What time of year?
If you can't even use it,
why spend
$2 million on it?
But if the firehouse affects it here,
usually.
That's our ability to run a contract until we get this fixed.
Well, we can, so we can push it harder. So 1%, you get about 100.
More, just
can't get to generation.
So you're a boss, it's about 1%.
We're done, right?
Can we?
I think we're done.
We're pretty close. The one thing,
yeah.
The
one
thing that's not saying is that
we can get to the top, we can't use capitation. Last year, that's what we did.
So the one thing I got to make clear, Fisher, is like. So we gave you 15K here, and I'm assuming when you say,
hey,
guys, back up to 1%, you're going to be able to get
another 15K
there, or you guys are going to be able to get 30K.
I don't understand the details, but it sounds like.
So you only got about 15K,
right? Okay, you can explain our policy.
Yeah, wait and see. I'm generally okay.
There's no meaning.
Well, no, because technically you would, because you technically take this power, so you can take that 430K back then.
Down to whatever.
Sure. I just want to make sure that's understood, because otherwise I'm going to say, what did we just agree to that we got nothing out of?
Anyway.
And that, I would be people looking at going, wow, you want to help a horse trader.
Line limitation
details. You got a,
it does have that component.
You got a pigtail for a Mustang.
Yeah. It does have that component to it, because if it's good, it's good. You know, how we use it, why we limit it, are different.
Well, the reason we basically said that we're willing to assume BOP is because we assume we're going to get a benefit from power, too. Because the problem is, BOP, we at least have some information on. Outside generation limit, we have no information on.
I mean, we have even more. We do have information from TSP saying don't do it.
Okay.
That you get, if you talk to Martin or you talk to the guys who work on, who've worked
don't,
on.
Don't you generation limit or don't you BOP?
Don't go above. BOP, I don't know. That's
best operating
BOP. Don't go above your best operating point. Due to pressures.
Pressures, and pressure relief issues and blades. One. So basically, it was like Powerhouse One. The way the chart table is currently written is Powerhouse One to midpoint, whatever. Powerhouse One up to 1%, and then C was to bomb. So I'm assuming that's how you guys would run. You would
that makes people. Sense.
Or would you guys go straight to BOP at like a couple units and then?
Well, TSP says to go to BOP because they think that the
best overall
BOP is better for fish than.
See, the only thing I'm worried about is that I may be signing on something here and then I might be getting hosed here and I'm going to look a complete idiot.
What's going to happen in the next buyout, most likely, I'm guessing, is you're going to say that 1% range is no longer 1%. It's BOP down to some
lower. It's already not. Our current buyout says that we're doing 1% because we don't have anything better. But what we should be doing is operating units to best survival, the best that we know it. Yeah. So best operating point is doable within our buyout. And we said, if you could come up with something better, do it. Otherwise, stick within the 1%. Best operating point has been defined by TSP, and we have a limitation put on it by the Corps based on tailwater. I would still, though, say that just seeing the folks who are squeamish about this, that we would go up to peak of upper end of 1% first, and then load at that point on up to BOP.
As long as it's,
unless there's a problem with the lines issue, you know, where you can move four units at BOP.
Right. You got 8 units that are on those lines, or you got 6 units that are on those lines.
Yeah, half our house.
Yeah. So 4 or 6, you do.
Correct. So, you know, however the limitations are, but I would still, I would at least for semantics, if it doesn't work out that way, say that we're going to go up to the number 1% first, to the extent that we can, and then we go to BOP after that.
Before going back to power,
then you
then
go
to BOP. Yes. And that's where we're most careful, because we're saying,
that's not what Dave's saying.
But that's what you're okay
with. I'm comfortable with that kind of scenario. I'm saying, like, I feel we've given some, we've acquiesced to Bob, even though so there's, I'm going to give
reason. And I'm not going to say that it's a better place to be operating.
I know.
I don't think it's any worse.
Yeah. That's where I'm at.
That's all I'm saying at this point.
I'm just saying, like,
that's your take on message now.
My take on
I
message
thought it was
is
an improvement, though.
Well, it looks, if you look at the environment, it is better. But lacking all the data that we have that people keep wanting for biology.
Which we should be providing sometimes.
Which we never
will. Well,
no,
I don't think that's actually ever going to come out.
I think you have to operate the whole test of BOP and then run a big performance test.
It's impossible to do with numbers of fish we need to do to be able to show
the data. You don't think the data mining exercise will show anything that
resolve this? I hope it does, but I doubt it.
Okay.
So we'll look at that as best we can, but what it does give us is a little better environment in there. We do have some information from Norman Doe, balloon tanks, I realize, but it's data, it's biological data showing that there was no difference, in fact, slightly better at the bot point than at
but it wasn't
lower end.
It wasn't sensible to right. The funny thing was, the old units did as well as the new units. So what does that tell you?
That's not the question.
I'm just saying, the old units after tuned up did as well as the new MGR. So technically, you didn't get a benefit.
That wasn't the point. The point was that these
operator
points aren't that any different in my mind. They're the same.
No. Yeah,
right. Maybe a little bit better for larger fish. I don't know. That would be the thing. So being squeamish about going there is really not justified in my mind.
Well, what about if you go back to Powerhouse 2 all the way up to 1%? Then isn't it the case that there was just a flow gain?
That's the only issue I have.
The other part of this is delayed mortality or latent mortality or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to put more fish that could have gone through the spillway through the powerhouse, which is, if Kiefer was here, that's what he'd be saying.
Right.
Then
that's
the problem. You know, that's you're putting more fish through the powerhouse that you could have put through spill if you had stuck with that limit. But I say it's an arbitrary limit. That's just an arbitrary limit.
And that's why I'm comfortable. I said, I'm not too squeamish about BOP. I'm fine with BOP. But if we do BOP and then we immediately go, okay, so much powerhouse one fully loaded up to and beyond, then we've actually just lost a fair chunk of.
We lost 11K, but that could be happening.
That's 10%. And last time I checked, we do a
5%.
No.
That's
11K and 100. No, I'm saying 11K.
Of powerhouse.
Yeah, of that powerhouse.
You
I'm saying you gained 11. You lost 11K for spill. That's 10% of your for spill. And that's when I check performance center tests are basically talking 10K as a threshold. That's a slop band in your performance interval. That's not an insignificant amount of volume according to your guys' performance standard metric paper. So I'm just saying, like, if we end up doing this, I'm going to get pressure saying, why the hell did you agree to that? You just basically coughed up for spill. You gave up a bunch of four. You gave up 10% of for spill for
350K river 310 or.
For better survival through the powerhouse. Oops.
Yeah, through better survival through a turbine. Through a perceived turbine
well,
with no idea of the mortality. Awesome!
But that's why we spent it.
We do have it. No, it's not a, we don't know. We do know. Mm-hmm. Survival's through the turbines, the powerhouse.
Yeah.
It's higher
and
than
it is pretty
river.
High. For Chinook.
For Chinook, yes.
And those MGRs are actually animal latent. I don't know what that
That's
is.
The problem.
I don't know.
Then I'm just, is, I just have you just traded off a
down to the Willamette anyway? Looking at 10 data, it was pretty high. Yeah. And it was the same the next year. So okay.
So before Tammy has an explosion.
I'm fine.
She can go.
You're just going to take the ticket.
Your car's gone, but you're fine.
Yeah.
No, you'll just get a
you get the boot. Yeah,
it's only $39.
39?
Is that it?
It's worn down.
We may have exceeded the limit of what we need to record anyway at this point.
No, that's if you're in certain limits. It's just if you've actually paid in that, and it's over the pavement.
So can you clarify by changing that 100% to 11 to 15?
Would you like me to pause it now?
I feel like I rendered Alt 1 and Alt 2 the same thing. I guess that what I was trying to articulate with Alt 1 is that, as we did last year, we would go all the way up to that range.
No. Alt 1 is basically instead of going back to Powerhouse 2, you go immediately to voluntary spill with this 11 to 15K. That would be Alt 2. Alt 1 is there's actually Alt 1 sub 1. Basically, there's
I don't think it's my head that's going to explode.
Oh, my head's going to explode. Yeah, because my kid just threw up at school.
Oh, you're supposed to go get
him. No, I can't. No, oh, Flynn's. Flynn's happy.
Flynn's good now?
Yeah, no, McKenzie. Finally caught up with McKenzie.
So now she's got
the bonds.
Damn it. I'm not throwing
sick. It's not the throat that was worse. It was the other end that was worse.
What's that?
I am not.
Yeah,
stomach
usually,
thing.
Yeah, no, if you don't fight at night.
It's all congested.
No, he didn't do that. He threw a basketball court on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
No, he didn't do anything like that.
Sure, I'm fine.
Oh, he's just trying.
Yes. So.
I'm going to cough all over your F-palm treats. That's what I'm going to do now.
Don't even joke about it around my stuff, please.
Yeah, let's just
I
arm
do, it's just
running
a
out, just like down bad the road, go away.
Oh, jeez.
Paros warm.
Just further away.
I brought
the
here. Right. Have some more defense.
Children.
I was trying to be helpful.
And then we go.
Trevor ate it. His immune system's gonna get better.
Yeah,
I've been sick like 5 times this year.
I stay away from him too. Alt one. Powerhouse two.
Separate vehicles. They're gonna need
two.
Upper 1%.
Well, what I was gonna say is, go. Yeah, go. Upper 1%, and then there's Alt 1A, Alt 1B would be
Alt.
Powerhouse 2 to, what would we call that? Generation. We go generation.
Well, 2 is upper 1% is the end of the line there. There's no above 1%.
Well, no, that's doing the whole thing to produce
75%.
1B is generation neutral.
Mm-hmm. There you go. What you gained at Powerhouse 1 from 1% to Bob, that difference.
So this is going to be around the 15K thing. And then Alt would be 1C, would be basically involuntary spill.
I thought we were supposed to make this easier.
No, I didn't say it was.
I don't know, I still think this is easier. I mean, it's...
If you could have it done all at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, if we this was...
I mean, really... So it just comes
back. To,
and then what seasons of the supply chain?
Spring. I think we're done after May. After mid June.
Mid-June.
Yeah, because Russ will be talking about sockeye.
So April 10th through
June 15th as an outside bound, probably.
On yeah, and then by then you're not even worried about fallback as much then either.
Because the weather's pretty much dropped off.
Summer snack.
Yeah. Numbers of fish are going to. Juveniles are going to drop off.
Don't have any water anyway.
Yeah.
At that point, that will probably extend there. So what is it, 100 to 1?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then your flows are going to drop back down, so it's not a problem anyways.
It'll be in that 1 in 20 range.
Yeah, until the sun's
in danger range.
So what's your 1B, powerhouse 2, generation neutral? So that's picking
so
up?
So this is the idea being that we just coughed. People have just acquiesced and said, hey, we are willing to
15K.
Not argue about rollover. Because someone could easily make that argument. Hey, rollover. You can't go above 1%. So, I mean, if tick gets to tat, someone could pull that card. Who could that be? So, I wouldn't look at Scott, I was going to meet. So, what we're saying is we're acquiescing to a BOP here, which is a gain for you guys. You guys have more flexibility here. So, what we'd assume is Powers 2 would then go back to the concept of generation neutral map. If we're going to BOP.
Wow, right.
Yeah.
Which would not go all the way up to the upper 1% if you set a point before that.
Do you have units
which would be second powerhouse that pass more fish?
Well, that would be the question. Is honestly, if I was to do it, I would probably say I would do the units towards this corner collector, draw as much flow towards that end, and pray you get a slightly more. Yeah.
Because you can do it per unit. I mean, you're not.
Well, that's what we'd end up doing. Would we do. What would you want to do? 12, 13?
Make them all go up equally, or do you want to make.
Wouldn't you do the priority units?
One for
I was thinking, if you put it towards the corner collector, you might gain more fish over the corner collector.
What are we coming up with here? I mean, this is not. This is for fish.
Yeah.
We come up with the best operation. So, sorry, the BPA.
No, when you abandon ship, how do you want to abandon ship?
When you abandon ship, then that's.
Do you do the sequence?
So let's get our operation down first, and then once we do that, then
regardless,
the ship thing
in between, there's flows that you need to decide how you want to keep adding.
At what point do we abandon ship?
Coming up?
Well, the question is,
we're not going to abandon ship.
Well, so the question is, for all 1 and B, you would go above 1%. Where would you, we would need to figure out a unit priority for that. For C, you're just gone.
So I don't know, I'm missing your reasoning here, I guess, and that's that you're saying that once we get to a situation where the juvenile adult ratio is wrong.
No, he's saying once you have to go back to powerhouse 2 or spill.
What do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
Where you go to spill.
I know, that's what you
want
to do.
He's listing up the options.
Let's get what we want to do for fish first. That's not the best for fish. The best thing for fish is to continue spilling
on up to where we would say it's too much. I don't think there is. So you would, that's it. You leave Powerhouse 2 at, you don't go to Powerhouse 2 and go above midpoint ever.
I'm not ready.
Unless it's an adult problem. That's the end of the story from a fish standpoint. Then BPA so just comes in and says, well, by God, we're not going to do that. Okay, now, well, then so we can go into our
so
triage of that, but let's not do that here.
So under all C, would this be where we start looking at ratios? The ratio of adult.
It's pretty simple. You just go back to Powerhouse 2. And yeah, well, you'd probably choose units to the extent that we could, you know, and you just play a rear guard action until you got the whole thing up.
Well, the question is, so Garrett, this would be the question. So say we did get there and we said we need voluntary spill. We then hit the adult ratio saying, okay, no, we don't want to go into voluntary spill. We want to go back. Which units would we prioritize the powers to? Would we do the ones close to the corner collector?
Right. We would. It's the same action. If BPA says stop, we're just not going to do this, then we do that. If we say stop because of an adult standpoint, an adult side of it, then we go to that rear guard action, which is, okay, you know, one step at a time. We could look at, I don't know if we have information from these last couple of studies that would tell us the number of fish that went through the units. Well, Wasky probably has that.
Well, that's what we're asking in that one page that Brad sent out. We could easily add that. Say, hey, by the way, what units are in there?
So to add to that complication, Lori reviewed our unit priority at Powerhouse 2, and she had some concerns about it.
Of course she did.
Who did?
Lori Ebner. Because we had changed, you recall, I think last year or the year before, we changed to, we have our end units, and then we start loading from the south end going north to try and get flow down at the corner collector.
Right.
And she had said that there was the study Plosky did, maybe, where when you do that, when you have the load on one end or the other, you get fish going deeper into the turbines, whereas if you fill in those middle units a little bit,
it's
then
the
you
north
get
end that causes, well, yeah, we can have that discussion. I mean, Lori's going to have to raise that to everybody, too. There's
and the
pros and cons. It's not a slam dunk.
Yeah, because it was like, what it was is you got more fish in the corner collector, but they lost more fish in the bypass because they went deeper in the turbine.
You get the big eddy, the fish go out, they go around, they go deeper the second time they come in.
So if you don't tuck in the corner collector, you're not going to give them a bypass.
Right.
You're going to lose them to the bypass.
Right.
So, and that becomes the numbers game of like, do we gain it off the corner collector and offset the loss?
Right.
Well, she also said she didn't really care how we prioritized, but she wondered why we did it when that had been a concern before.
No, it was considered.
And the worst thing about it was, the biggest factor on that was Unit 11. When Unit 11 worked, it worked awesome. And when Unit 11 didn't work,
it's kind of a mess right now. I mean, it'd be nice to have the 4-bay model to work with, but of course that's a lot of pieces out of earning right now.
So, long and short, we could probably write up a change form to get us to here. And then after this, we've got to make policy. Now, the only other horrible thing I'm going to throw in this just because I can, there's a day-night concept. We don't want to even touch that.
Well, we found that the proportion of adults passing was exactly the same at night as it was in the day. Didn't you call
adults?
UI?
No,
it was one-third.
The fallback.
So one-third fell back at night, which has got the same, it's got one-third of the hours.
Well, the percentage of fallback, there was fewer fish that
fell back at night.
There's fewer fish that fell back at night, partly because it was also a percentage thing. Because the fish that, it was twofold. It was like, you saw a third less fallback because of the hours, but then also the fish, there were fewer fish that fell back at night. But it was only over an 8-hour time frame. So
because of the hours,
it was like, okay, I'm explaining it horribly. During those 8 hours, you did those 8 hours did have a higher percentage of fallback. The problem
a
is,
lower percentage.
Yes, it did have a lower percentage. The downside was it's only for 8 hours.
Right.
So it's like, so I'm saying from a juvenile standpoint, you're going to affect about a third of the juveniles.
Right.
So is that, I don't know. Because you assume juveniles is going 24 hours, so it's only for 8 hours a day. You're only going to see a benefit.
What was the difference in rate? I mean, was it, you're talking about a very small difference in fallback rate? Or
I've got that. Did I send that table?
It should be on the web. But the juveniles tend to go through the bypass more at night, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So.
Well, more dusk. Well, I guess at night, too. So
it's at, well, no, I yeah, I mean, it go through, the night and day had about the same, but night is half the time.
So you get more fish.
So it is higher per
so,
minutes at night.
So yeah, so bypass is more effective at night.
Yeah.
So that's the thing we could throw in there. I mean, we could do an operation, but the thing is it was like, So around 9 o'clock and then around 5 o'clock is your break point. So from like 9 to 5, you can do that. After that, it's the fallback kind of problem again.
Well, so when I was doing, when I did smolt monitoring, because I did up at John Day, we would see our bulk run through 11 and 1. So, I mean, if you were to maximize the 5, and that's assuming the Bonneville acts the same way as John Day.
John Day, it does not. It's totally different. The yields are very, very different. Sorry, but that's it's a 100-foot head dam versus a 50-foot head dam, and it makes a big difference.
I mean, make Bonneville taller.
Yeah, if we could add on that, Tony Peter
Stevenson.
So, Scott, what do you need from us?
No, fine. I mean,
we're going where we're going to go. BP is going to have to say,
Or them with the gas. I mean,
yeah. Well, and I've got my rationale out there, which probably won't make any sense, even though it does. But I don't think gas should be a part of it. If the region agrees that we have a limit.
Tell me who's writing this up.
No different than the one, upper end of 1%.
I can write I can write that table up.
So should we caveat that with that 1 in 20 adult to juvenile?
I don't get
it. Yeah, my spirit. That was what I was thinking. That was the ratio thing. So I think right there. So,
even starting out, I mean, really, you don't even want to do that. If you're in 1 in 20 land, because you're looking at taking too much of a hit with the adults.
Before you get the triggers here. So there's a trigger there. Then once you decide to do it, then you have
this.
I'm just trying to simplify it. So the only time you do is when you're at the multi-year spear point, and that's something that's really gracious. So it becomes a very limited window. Otherwise, you have to do this the whole freaking season. And there's going to be constant arguments like, oh, we hit our ratio.
Okay, that's why I think someone needs to really look at those ratios over time and see what we're really dealing with there. How much are we switching? Are we talking about a pretty
it's a narrow one.
What is 1B again? How does that work?
1B. Okay, so because you didn't go to TNT after last year, what we did was we used to run to here, so up to 1%. And then we suggested, okay, immediately go to voluntary spill. BPA said, no, you guys are smoking crack. Okay. So what they said is, what we will do is we will go to whatever
cab limit,
we'll take whatever we'll go to cab limit, which was 30K, which happened to be just about the same out here. And so what they said is, we will do a generation neutral operation.
And so that's what 1B is.
So it was a generation neutral operation. So what they said is,
but when you say that, are you saying generation neutral? Where are you doing it? I mean, in my opinion,
it's because going to 1%, there's more flow going through turbines than there would have been.
Yeah, power spoiling.
Okay, so you're coughing that up as a 15K.
Because I'm saying you guys got about 15K here. So what I'm saying is, I can cough back 15K here from my standpoint. If we have to go to back to powerhouse 2, I'm saying go to 15K, then you play the unit priority game, hopefully make a benefit, and then you go to involuntary spill. Otherwise, if we go to powerhouse 2, upper end of 1% everywhere, then I just said, I've just lost SP.
You lost the farm.
I've just given you guys 15K extra generation. I lost 10, 15K of involuntary spill at Bonneville.
Okay.
From a policy standpoint, that is probably one of the worst trades I could have made.
Okay, so you would do a powerhouse 2 generation neutral up to 15K. Okay, got it. Got it.
Okay, that makes sense.
I mean, honestly, to me, I think in voluntary spill, because I mean, we're really only talking about a 15K change from what we've done in past years. Is really 15K at 315, is that something you guys are willing to put on your sword? I pretty much know the answer, but...
Yeah, you can talk to her.
Yeah, well, considering I get Holly's going to fall on her sword over 5K at the corner collector.
Before I depart, I get... have you ever looked at pulling partial screens? Because what I was looking at your information of, over time when we made these changes to the turning vanes, it was no problem, no problem, no problem, no problem. Then all of a sudden, when we're all done, problem.
It was the same problem that Brandon showed. It's just like, if you just have like a couple units run at this, there's not a fish going through that to show itself up at this.
Right.
Yeah. See, but when you have all of them running, that's when you see it, because then you have enough fish.
Well, tested. Yeah. And he had a problem.
So yeah,
he did.
With one unit, he detected the problem, and the reason
it wasn't based on small monitoring, it was based on the actual game oil.
Because the earlier tests didn't show that. That's what I was scratching my head.
The earlier tests were in B slots, which perform hydraulically different than A slots. It's not as intense.
Yeah,
and the upper end 1% representation was not as high as what we've been operating in the last few years. A flow through the unit. So, you know, their upper end of 1% was 15.8K,
which is
through the unit.
Yeah.
So we've been operating in the 17.5 to 18K range.
So we ever looked at running a no screen in the A slot?
What's that?
No screen in the A slot, just run B and C.
You just run those fish through the turbines.
Well, sure, but I mean, we're having the problem most likely is the most in the A slot, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that would do that, but then you've got the game of that you've just basically thrown steelhead out right. Bath water. Because right. You're probably going to gain more steelhead through the A slot since it has the highest flow, so you're.
But not the whole season. If we're looking at Chinook, don't we have a separation between one way of steelhead and one way of Chinook?
Depends on the year.
Spread.
Depends on the year.
No, you usually don't.
Okay.
They're one on top of the other. It's just a matter that it's more that more steelhead goes to the corner collector than Chinook, so that's your only salvation is that most of the fish are avoiding the powerhouse.
So if you guys want to do a choking analysis on that.
Anyway, so I was just thinking that maybe the A slot's the problem, or that you could do a variation of what we're doing with screens.
Yeah.
All right, I can go play with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, it's a variation, but okay. Not a solution.
Trying to figure out what our thing is.
I've stayed away from that so long.
Yes.
I'm not touching it. Tar, baby.
Yeah, all right.
See you. Yeah.
All right.
I'd be willing to bet it's the A and B.
So do you want me to write this up in a change form for you all to add your verbiage to then?
We'll throw the F-bomb meeting on Thursday.
What's that?
She will write this verbiage up. I guess we'll attach both tables to it as well. Makes sense. And then we'll have an outline of the big change form, and then we can add verbiage as needed.
Okay.
And are we going to have the dates, like April to mid-June?
That's a question.
Look at the data.
So kind of the things we got is look at ratios.
Well, I still think that's going to be a ratio call. Whether we do it based on multiple years and just pick a date, or if we use it in season, is a question.
Yeah. Well, something like that. If we're talking about a cutoff date, I think that's an in season operation.
I think so too.
That's easy.
You could maybe start it based on early.
We do a transportation. We do in season discussion about transportation. That
just do it in season.
I don't like that response out of the mission because they keep telling us everything's going to be in season.
Let's handle it in season.
We'll do it in the FOSS. We're going to do it in season.
It'll be a 1 hour meeting. Not a big deal.
No, honestly, that one, when you start stopping everything, I don't have a problem. It's when you say, like, oh, this week we're on, this week we're off.
Yeah.
If you're doing the star stop action, that one's a fine thing. It's easy. If we're going to talk about like a weekly basis, that's something I don't want to get into.
I couldn't agree with you more. I'm just trying to think out. So do this in season.
Basically, it's like a question, is there a day? I would say, and that's when you start looking at juvenile numbers. And
there
say,
still needs to be somebody looking in the season,
April
all season long at this operation.
Red
flag.
S&P is going to be, we're going to be looking at every week at FPC. You know FPC is going to be like, the fact that I'm in the green to Bob, I'm going to get my ass chewed.
You are. I can't believe you're doing that.
I'm a generous guy. I've got a big ass to get chewed on. Mm-hmm. So
you're a reasonable guy.
Yeah, stop. Don't try to be nice.
Generous.
So
let's give him a
gold
star for the day.
Gold star. Thank you. It's not going to deal with the
chewing
child when I get home. Sweet. So
hopefully it's all done by the time you get there.
Not my children. They'll just puke through the night. It'll be awesome. So, So, FEC is going to be, S&P is going to be going on. They're going to, if they see a problem, they're going to alert us, and we'll circle the wagons and people are going to have kids.
Assignment of looking.
Well, looking at season. All right, looking at ratios or looking at fish
looking at ratios. I mean, it's all on the web. So, Dean's got all the information. Dean's probably
the best guy. Operations and Dean's probably
the guy. That seems like a good thing to task FEC with.
Yeah, and if they see something that looks
you really
like
want to
problem,
get me chewed on,
then raise the red flag, and we say, "Oh, we better quit this operation." And when you quit it, then you go back to the other rear guard.
Until you get your GI issues.
Should I say that again? No, so if you call it in season, what would your default operation be?
We would have to talk about. Stop. You would probably. I don't know where we are in that, so it's going to depend.
Well, what you do
is spilling.
Well,
it's
a problem.
Just running
you could
for
be
a powerhouse.
Honestly, you could be, spilling, you could be anywhere after this point. I mean, you could be like, have like one unit powerhouse one,
right.
Shift the ratio and say, no,
get
that one unit powerhouse one, just go fill the powerhouse two.
Exactly. I mean that's exactly what you just, it's just a rear guard action. It's just going reverse to wherever you're at.
Do we even
know where you were?
That terrifies me.
Do you really want to have that kind of
SOR fun touche? That would be just awesomeness.
Oh, it would be beyond that. And the problem is then you're talking like, because the adult ratios could change on a daily basis. I mean, you've seen that where it goes from 2,000 to 8,000
to decide.
So we make it
what,
a serious, like it's got to be a hard, I mean, it's got to be a scary trigger, not
right.
just something you just flirt with,
but
something that we know is a bad thing.
I mean,
thing.
If we look at that and we go, oh my God, the juvenile numbers are real low, and there's a ton of adults, and we're doing this.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's like we would all go look. Is this
no right? That's the question. Is like, what time frame are we talking? Like, if for 5 days we're doing that, or is it? If a
I don't
week?
Know. That's what we need to come up with.
So we gotta look at it. So we gotta look at it. We gotta have the data.
Yeah. What level?
And really know, look I mean, at that and say when
really
are we in this zone?
It's not gonna be in 5 days. It's gonna be right now.
No, and really the question we had on the adults was like. Is it when we're worried about fall because there's a concern about mortality? Is that related mostly to sea lions, or is that just all year round? I mean, once sea lions are gone, are we as concerned about fall?
Pretty much sea lions are never gone.
Yeah, but I'm saying one or two versus 50. I've got a much different knot in my belly when I see 50 versus 3. Because 3, they're probably going to be
starving. Sea lion ratio.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
So then we need a model.
Let's just start with the fish counts and the dates. I'll print 4 years out. I'll put red when it's dead, when it's really bad, and I'll show, you know, what. When we all look at what those dates are.
You know what? Let's just run them all through Second Paras. Who gives a rip? I'm done with this. I don't care if it goes to 15K.
Well, I can show like the danger zones that way we can look at and see when these danger zones likely
to occur.
Just pull screens and run them through.
Yeah. The only thing you can.
Sure. Let's do
excellent.
That.
Okay. We
wore them out.
The only thing I'd be worried about, Gary, with that is like, God forbid, it's like snake river sockeye. The only thing I'd be worried. If you see Danny saw.
Well, we just won't monitor.
There you go.
We won't see it. Because we're not seeing the problem anywhere else anyway. We're only seeing it through the screen bypass system at Bonneville. We're not seeing it through any all the problems
that
we're
the only one that we modified that someone modified from notes we wanted to prevent.
You're telling me that going above 1% to BOP is probably killing lots of fish somewhere down the road.
No, but you don't see
somebody
someone will say that.
Yeah.
I know.
And so it's like fine. Well, whatever, we don't know that either. So
no,
it's just throw we know.
That's why I mean look at the model we did. And that's something I saw the model when we were up above that, and it's like going, I don't see any big difference here.
I really don't. I think BOP is it's got nothing to do with the turbines.
No,
the survival through the turbines is going to be the same. It's all has to do with where you send those fish you would have spilled through the turbines. That's the whole
thing. And what delayed mortality is because nobody really knows the delayed mortality.
We have no idea what it is. We don't know until somebody actually does my detectors in the turbines. I will never know.
Well, so, it probably wouldn't because the delayed mortality on those fish, there's so few fish that go through the turbines right now anyways, it's got to be a small percentage.
But what is it for those that do?
Yeah, what is it for those?
What's the relative difference between spill versus in delayed mortality between spill past fish at Bonneville?
Yeah.
Spill past fish at Bonneville and MGR units at Bonneville.
It could be worse for spill.
It could be.
Possible.
The problem is...
looks bad.
That's so crazily different, though. For that to truly affect D.
It may not be any difference.
Yeah. And it may be no difference at all. Or maybe D might be really bad for turbines, but there's still fish going through. It doesn't really manifest.
Yeah, we'll see it. But, I mean, we're still talking about more of those fish. It's not just that. It's where you're putting them.
I know.
It's the relative
difference. It's the
relative difference.
Which route are
you through? How firm do you think U.S. fish will be on the message that was conveyed today? I would hedge that same line of concern would be expressed at the FPOM meeting on Thursday. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Well, I'd like to hear it. I was thinking Dave was saying this is what we have to do. We have to say this now because our biop doesn't allow the change.
Right.
And so we have to say it this way, even though I want to say something different.
He needs the memos
so
to be able to...
To be able to say something different,
right.
And then you will. That's the way I kind of heard it. So let's wait and hear that.
I would see that as a game stopper, and if that's what you're fishing,
it's honestly going to be a Noah call.
Well, then it comes down to salmon versus bull trout.
And then Noah's going to say,
who's going to lose?
It'll be policy, Noah versus fish on my service policy. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty easy.
It'll just play out as a TMT junk drawer, because we'll punt on the FPP change form, and we'll leave it to in-season management. This will come up for Spring Creek. That's the irony of it. And it'll come up no agreement in April, and then we'll end up doing it. Actually, we'll probably do it with no objection. So fast forward to TMT right into April.
Bob,
Dave will say the same thing. You guys got rollover on.
Rollover is operates midpoint.
That's
you don't operate at point, midpoint is gas. So you're actually making a change. You're changing the FOP. Doug, and I've been told you can't do that. You have to change the FOP.
No, because he wouldn't object to it. He would say, he would have his moment to say, you know, this isn't in the U.S. Fish FCRPS biop. I don't support it. There's no empirical data on Powerhouse 1.
And you could ask what's your empirical data for Boltrout?
I understand, but I would argue that he would say what he needs to say for his policy folks, and then we would say, okay, well, we're hearing...
The burden of proof is on them.
Well, yeah, but we would, we haven't had consensus on this, but we've done it, you know, begrudgingly. We've had plenty of stakeholders it hasn't been 100% consensus, but we haven't had objections, so I see this. If we don't get regional consensus on a FPP change, I see this just kicked down to TMT in late March.
It'll just be a standard SOR bullshit.
And then but not everybody will sign on to it, and then this will have to be some core BPA amalgamation smash job.
No, it'll be the same thing it was last year. We send the SOR that we can get all the same energy to sign on.
It'll be more like
they just won't be
A, B, no BOP, straight to multi spill.
You guys will come back and say, no, we're going to do BOP, and then you'll probably go to 1B,
but I'm just
BOP and 1B and call it done.
But I'm just curious how, I mean, I feel like the conversation is different this year, and that as far as what John sent out, I mean, I feel like right now, with NOAA's current report, it seems to me it looks bad. It looks bad if we do what we did last year. Why? Because there's more information out that is really justifying how bad Powerhouse 2 is when you're above. And now
So
anyway,
that's why we submit the SPAR saying you.
Well, I understand, but I'm just saying I think that's
going to be bad for you guys.
That's
for us, I would sit back and giggle.
That's fine. I just want to reiterate when we go back and talk about. You know, I think what's changed this year as opposed to last year when we talk to our water quality people, there's more burden of proof now. It just makes the action agency look all the worse if we don't cap Powerhouse 2.
I've been staring at this. D doesn't make sense to me.
Which one?
D.
Oh, D.
Sorry, I'm a little slow to pick up.
I'm slower.
1C is the only D.
Yeah, absolutely.
That we would recommend.
I
know there's
know
other
that.
People... in the room with other interests, but this is a fish recommendation.
So
others go away.
I have no problems.
Except for, now, if D was, it's involuntary spill. That's it. Now there's an E. And E is that if we hit a limit of adults that we're concerned about, that we want to reverse our action, or BP forces us to reverse our action, and we need to reverse our action. That's E. And that would be emergency. E, that sounds good. And that would be a rear guard action,
at that point.
Which would be increasing Powerhouse 2 sequentially back up to its full 1%. 1%. That's what that would be. So that's
how I write it.
She doesn't, let's not have that up there as an automatic D. Why did you even write it that way?
Because he started that way, and you see this big guy over here?
Yeah, I know. No, we're not going to listen to the big guy over there unless he's talking fish sense, not power sense.
No, I'm sure
this is for fish.
This is the alternatives we had. We selected the C because that makes the message from a fish passage standpoint.
That's good.
There's going to be a policy issue.
A, B, C makes sense. D, from our, unless somebody disagrees with me, we go with the involuntary spill until we say it's too much.
So you got an adult ratio issue with it.
Right, and then you go into the issue of the rear guard, how do you Powerhouse 2 backup, and it's which units, which gate wells, whatever.
Technically, for the voluntary spill, we do the voluntary spill to like probably 125, and went from 125 to 130. That's when we probably would ease off on
right,
that, honestly.
Right, and I think I did. I talked about
you
that.
You talked about that.
How much is too much? But you know, it's the place where we back off. It's the same place we back off the 1% as a result of high gas. Where's that?
I know.
We haven't done that before.
I know.
So consider the Venera a few times in the past. We've always said no. Continue spilling. We're not going to relax the 1%. This is the same as the 1%. It's the same issue.
Not arguing.
So, and if the committee, if our group
awesome.
Feels the same way, then that ought to be the recommendation going forward. Forward.
So then how I'll write it up is A, B, C, D will be 1C, And then E will be when we hit the adult juvenile ratio.
I want to say that the adult trigger thing happens at the very beginning of this.
It does. There's the adult trigger.
Well, maybe we don't start. Let's not talk about adult trigger until we get some more information.
It's more of a start trigger. Yeah. A start trigger and an end trigger. Then there's the, what I'm talking about is either.
It's overarching over the entire operation. It's always back
there. Yeah, and it bookends it. But then there's a middle point where we either have BPA comes in and says, you're not doing this anymore. Little boys and girls. Mm-hmm. So then we go back to what are we going to do? Or we hit this, oh my gosh, emergency trigger where the adult numbers have just spiked up and we're thinking, we better stop. Then we have to have a rear guard action, how do we get back to powerhouse to at the upward 1%? How do we go there sequentially?
Right.
So that's E, I see that. And then, on the front and back, you have the dates, either dates or a trigger mm-hmm. that are based on either date or on fish ratios.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it.
And the fish ratio is going to be run by Dean Ballinger, and then that would be...
He will be God. We'll give him the scepter.
See, my problem is...
He won't. We've had bad luck with the conch to the third party. We've done this in the past. We've relied on Ben to be monitoring in consultation with Dean.
Yeah.
And then...
So, Gary, it could be king for a day. So 30K for Powerhouse 1 is 2 units?
I'm sorry.
30K?
It's
about 2 units.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to do the red face test.
30K.
So 30K, because that's what we're really talking
maybe
about.
Maybe it's 2, it's actually power, so it'd be like 2 and a half.
Like 10K.
It's 11. Yeah, I was thinking 15. It's more like 11.
So it's 2.
It's like
it's
2 and a half, 3 years.
Yeah. So I'm going to do the red face test. Now, that makes me feel a little better. You say, like, if we're only talking 1 or 2 units, I can't see that affecting adult passes that much. But 3 units? Yeah,
I know. There's that issue, too. We start getting into that. I
mean, are you talking about the on-screen adult issue?
I'm just saying, if you've got 8 units on at Powerhouse 1, and you said, okay, we'll cut off 3, that's really not going to change my adult proportion much and change fallback very much, honestly.
Tends to flow the same amount, though. Still that same shift in flow going over there.
I just say, from everything we've seen, especially like in Fall Chinook when we shut off the spill, mm-hmm. then it becomes really apparent that there's a much stronger flow relationship in that.
B branch, right. It's a huge buffer.
So my point is, you're still going to have the spill, so you're still going to have a shitload of fish going through the rest that are going to be a subject to fallback regardless. And that's just part of that. That's part mm-hmm. of the plan we agreed to. Is like, hey,
it is.
We will, because otherwise, if we were that worried about fall, you'd shut off B branch, or you go back to the 75K. Mm-hmm. So
right.
But it's still there. I mean, it may not be very.
Oh, it is.
That's what Trevor's model kind of, smooth that all out. If we wanted to worry about that, we can go back and think about the upper.
Well, that was the thing.
When doesn't it matter? Too.
Well, that
when
was
doesn't matter. When exactly. doesn't matter?
And that's the thing. That's what we were trying to do with Dave.
I use his data. That line, that trend, is what. The proportions follow of how much you could expect. It's shotgun, but it's still an overall trend. If you were a betting man, you would bet on that line.
I'm not a betting.
Over time, you would win by betting on that line. Still a trend.
Yeah. So don't go statistics galski on here.
Yeah, but still, it's shotgun.
That's what it's there.
I play poker. I don't play 21.
We have to simplify this a little bit.
I know. I'm just saying, in season, red face test, it's going to be like...
Let's look at what the data says. Yeah. How often
that was the thing that I need to go with the mission, see, like, when is it actually going to happen? How often is it going to happen?
I think 0.05 is the danger zone.
Well, most of the time, we're going to be doing it.
Yeah.
Most of the time, you're not going to have to pass.
Especially initially.
I'm just saying, 5,000 adults.
That's something...
Actually, it depends on how many juveniles are. That was just the 1 year.
So are you going to take a look at that?
Yeah, I'll look at it.
Awesome, awesome. So that'll give you a comfort of how often the trigger is going to be used. And mm-hmm.
This is a step forward, though.
Springer's away, also, and they get to that peak level. If that juvenile peak is off that, that's where it's going to be.
Yeah.
The juvenile peak overlaps it, it's okay, but if the juvenile peak is before or after it...
I've got a spreadsheet that goes back 12 years now, daily counts. For adults.
Yeah, I just need to bring it up with the juvenile.
I have all that laid out. I mean, I know it's on the web, but I've got it in one spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you just can't get that from the web. I mean, the adult count stuff that John Dalen's done doesn't give you that capability of throwing a table of all the daily counts.
Do it each year.
Terry Heard used to do it.
I think the annual reports have it in there too, probably.
Yeah, they do.
This is an electronic measurement.
So if anybody wants that.
I would say that's Trevor, sounds like.
Yeah.
And then the juvenile stuff, and the juvenile stuff should be really.
There's going to be an assumption there, though, that that ratio of what goes through the bypass is consistent over time.
Oh, well, that's one we've had to make a zillion times.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the biggest thing.
FG.
That was one of the biggest complaints I had against the ZEPL model, is that all these assumptions season-wide.
If anybody wants to chew any of this up, it's destroyed.
Oh, no, we
it's
can
the
shoot.
Best you can come up
well,
with.
Well, the thing is, if we realize it is, if there's so many holes in all of this anyways,
everybody's model out there, who you, what model is out there is full of stuff. I mean, you can tear it apart so easy if you don't like it. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But then it's always, my answer is always, well, okay, you do a better job.
Yeah.
What else
you
got?
Yeah, here's the keys. You got it.
It's not driving, you create it.
Yeah.
So,
I think we're there for now. Yeah, right. I'll update my memo, but what I had is already out there, it sounds like, so that it would be an update. I redlined everything. It'd be nice to have you worked on another redline. So maybe what I can say is, can folks look at what I redlined
and
say,
last
okay,
time
with this?
I read through last time and I said fine.
And I can do accept changes and then move on with a new version?
I would.
Yeah, okay. And honestly,
yeah, I got a couple of minor things.
Well, yeah, send me any comments you have on it so I can make edits to it, but I'd like to accept changes and then move on to a new copy. And,
okay.
And then whatever I... And what I wrote then will be accepted, and the next one will be red. The red lines will be new changes over what you've seen in this last version. So that way I can kind of keep it same a little bit. So I'll keep adding and keep modifying and just try to. This will be basically our justification for what we're doing, why we're doing it.
Yeah.
If anybody asks. And then Trevor's memo too, I think it will be the basis for the analytical side of it. Mine's more the basis for the why issues that come up. Rationale.
You know, I wish I would ask Rick. Do you think he's going down this Bob highway? Do you think he's gonna be on board with the Bob highway?
I asked him before he walked out the door if he was okay with what we're doing. He says, "Yeah, I'm okay with where you're going."
Okay.
So it seems to me that he's okay with the general.
Okay.
Bob.
Well, we'll know at
acceptance.
Our home.
Yep. Okay.
And I would suggest, whatever we come up with that POM, take it to the process meeting next Wednesday for
TFT.
TMT.
Process.
Yeah. I would think they'd be better with flow neutral than not flow neutral. I think they'd have an issue since we went outside that flow neutral. But as long as we still it, like you're recommending, I think they'd be okay.
I think we're giving them both ends. That's what Tom's, we're giving on the BOP as a give from logical
the
perspective. From BPA, now we're going, after we fill that up, we're going to a spill. But if we go back, if their response is Bob, Powerhouse 2, whatever that one is there,
1%,
and we start going
K.
up, I'm done. I'm just going to walk away from that whole deal.
Yeah,
okay, you're just killing fish.
Well, they're just taking a 15K happily and walk away.
Yeah, and so. and I don't know that that's, that's just not...
Well, at that point, I pretty much go, "Hey, that rollover says you
everybody
can't do that, so.
Involved in it should just stop and walk over."
Yeah. The problem is, Holly's going to go there.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I mean, if they want to keep doing
that's
those
pretty
things.
Aggressive, though. That's pretty flagrant.
Have you met Holly?
Yeah,
that's middle finger in the. I mean, it's
it
one
is.
Thing just to be
she's
neutrally abrasive, but that's like.
Yeah, I will stop.